much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I got up at 5:30 in the a.m. this morning. 5:30 in the goddamn a.m. Y'all wanna know why?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Well, the UConn Huskies are the 2014 NAACP National Champs.
Take two.
NCAA Champs, the Huskies celebrating as they took down the Kentucky
Is that racist?
Wildcats.
Tell me the truth.
That's racist.
And now.
Now, Mr. Rude, I just want you to know I'm a good sport. If you want to make fun of my legendary love of cashews, you have at it.
Uh-huh. All right. How many times a day do you go to the can?
No, about 40, I suppose. When are we going on the air?
We're on the air now, Skeletor.
What?
Question two, how long is your wiener? Seriously.
Great heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Our feature presentation.
One needs that question answered. That's what kind.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:33. It's the 9th of April.
How long have you been in the building, Kevin?
I'd go with 25 seconds.
All I know is at the start of the 1 minute and 9 second intro, Lisa May says to me, she says, hey, is Kevin expected today?
Yeah.
And Muggs said, don't worry about it.
Thank you, Muggs.
And boom, he there he was.
Well,
there
I
he was.
I just know that you have not been feeling great.
Correct.
Not a lot of sleep.
Correct.
You in your bed.
Right.
Having a good time.
Right.
So I was concerned.
But that's really, I mean, that's not really an excuse.
No, it's not, and you don't
And
use
I was
it.
Here on time, and I'd just like to point out when I'm here on time, I don't know that it needs to be pointed out how long I've been in the building.
It's just remarkable to me because most people can't, the clock doesn't start at their job and then they're working at full strength within 5 seconds. Most people need a couple of minutes to settle in and to take off their coat and adjust themselves and put their stuff down. You know what I mean? It's just, it's remarkable that you're able to walk in and already hit the ground running at the incredible level of success that you have.
Define hit the ground running.
Well, you're doing your job. Oh, you're right? On the air. You're talking. You're doing
everything that you
do.
Everything that you mentioned, the, you know, putting your jacket away or whatever and getting getting the supplies and whatever. I do that. I just do that in super speed. So I throw stuff.
It's pretty impressive.
I'm just throwing
stuff. I'm saying it's impressive. All right. I'm saying Lisa May could not walk in the door and start talking 5 seconds later. That's
no,
all. It's impressive.
True.
But that's because I do it 300 days a year. So,
speaking of impressive, Kevin, I know you're not going to be at the opening game of the World Cup. You're going a little bit later than that this
yes.
year in Brazil. But something very, very cool is going to be happening. The first game is going to be on June 6th. The World Cup is in Brazil this year. It's going to be against Croatia versus Brazil, as a matter of fact. They're opening up.
Okay.
And there's a ceremonial kick in soccer. I'm sure a lot of people know, as there is a first pitch in baseball. And moments between the singing of the national anthems and the official start of play, they are going to have a paralyzed teenager walk onto the field and kick the ceremonial first ball.
He's paralyzed.
Yes.
Completely?
Yes. He's a paraplegic. Now, remember the Super Bowl commercial from 15 years ago or something like that that was very controversial at the time about actor Christopher Reeve? They showed him getting up out of his wheelchair and walking across the stage. It was some sort of a technology company or some sort of company that was trying to get money raised for funds for technology to help paralyzed people walk,
right?
And it was very controversial at the time because people said, well, you got a spinal cord injury. There's no way you're ever going to walk again, and don't give people false hope. You remember all that at the time?
Oh, sure.
Well, there's been a lot of research done since then, and there is a high-tech exoskeleton. It's made out of a very thin metal, and you wear it on your body like a suit, and it also has electrodes that kind of connect to your brain and whatnot. And this is the latest in the technology of you think it and you can make a machine do it, and you're, it looks like, going to soon be able to have one of these suits on, be set up so that you can will yourself to walk in this suit.
Wow, that is so far beyond what most people can understand, me especially.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I don't get it at all. There's a doctor in Brazil, Miguel Nicolas, who has been working on this for decades. And he went to the World Cup people in 2009 and said, hey, I'd like to make this happen. And they said, okay. So he's been working on it ever since. And they're in the process right now of whittling down the initial group of 20 down to three, one who will be selected to kick and two alternates who are going to be out there on the field that day. And it looks like it's going to happen. It looks like it's going to work.
I think they should put all three of them on the sideline and then just have them race for the ball.
So, you know, he was looking at it as, look, it's going to be the biggest television audience in the history of anything that's ever happened in Brazil. Why not spread the word that science is important, too, and that, you know, these sorts of things need to be thought about as well as sports. Sports is great, but over here we're doing something else that's also great.
Interesting.
So, I mean, I think that would be, I mean, if this comes to pass, if they're able to get this thing up and running, no pun intended, and we see this happen, I think it is going to be a very impactful and emotional thing to watch.
Are you sure it's not just a robot?
No, it's a person in an exoskeleton. Yeah,
wow.
But I mean, you use your mind and think how much this technology could change in the years to come. I mean, we're at the with baby steps with this thing. But if they really get this thing working, who knows? I mean, paralyzed people may be able to live essentially pretty normal lives if they're able to be able to walk and drive and run and do anything they want to do if they can figure out something like this to work.
They're not going to make them faster and stronger than the rest of us, are they?
I don't know. That freaking Oscar Pistorius, man. He certainly figured out a way to run pretty fast with no legs. And you know me. I mean, it takes a lot for me to do. You know, I dislike the handicapped. I mean, that's my whole thing is because they're not as good as us. But I look at a story like this and I go, wow, now we're talking about leveling the playing field here.
That's bizarre. That's truly
it's
weird.
It's amazing.
Great story. So we'll see if it happens. I hope so.
All right. Let's talk about this morning's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Stop seeking attention!
Tyler Labine will be on the program today talking about his new show, Deadbeat.
Excellent.
Love Tyler.
He's the best. Robbie Lawler will be here talking about UFC 173. Who does he fight next?
Okay.
We have tickets for WonderCon. We'll give you today.
All right.
You sent somebody a text to the wrong person. This can be just mildly bad, or it could be incredibly bad.
It could be disastrous. Yeah.
So are we allowed to mention the story, Bean, or not the person, or what? How do we?
Yeah, we can't can't mention the person, but we'll talk about it later.
All right, we'll tell the story. It's picture girlfriend, and you can fill in the rest. Did not go to intended target. AspergersDating.com.
Yay, Bean!
How about that? Bean can play.
I'm so happy for you.
I don't know anybody that would apply
Bean.
To, but
yippee!
Woo.
Bet we watch a lot of Weather Channel. Bet that's a big first date item.
We also have MTV Movie Award tickets, and we have your tickets at 9 a.m. for Coachella. So keep listening for your chance to win all that. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Bean. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Am I on?
Yeah, I think Ralph's just making the noise of the ship. The end of that song?
What?
Yeah. Foster the People. You know where there's like 15 minutes of just creaking
sound effects
back and forth and waves and sailors.
Remix.
Boning.
Hey, good morning, Ralph.
Good morning.
Showbiz time here on a Wednesday. What's happening?
Sad news for wrestling fans. Pro wrestler James Brian Helwig has passed away, better known as the Ultimate Warrior. Passed away at the age of 54.
Wow.
After just having been inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And just days ago, he was at WrestleMania 30.
That's the thing that amazed me, is he was just, like, the most high-profile thing he's done in years was just Monday. Yeah. And now we wake up on Wednesday, he's dead.
Survived by a wife and two daughters. And no official word yet on what caused his death. But he had a legendary fight against Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania 6. That was known as, like, the quintessential battle. And, fans are bummed out, so.
Every day this week you've come in with celebrity deaths, by the way. What the hell?
Well, who should be happier than you?
No kidding.
Just saying.
Deathmeister? Here's some good news. Bachelor creator and executive producer Mike Fleiss got married over the weekend to a former Miss America named Laura Kepler at his Malibu, California mansion. It was officiated by none other than our good buddy Chris Harrison himself. He was the officiant. And just for the record, Mike is 49 years old. Laura, 26 years old.
All right.
All right.
And you've met this Mike Fleiss. He's a tiny little troll, too, Ralph.
I would never say that about Mike Fleiss.
But is it true or no?
As a man who likes being on television?
Oh. He is a powerful, powerful man.
I got you.
He certainly is. Yes. He's very wealthy.
And speaking of marriages, Andrew Dice Clay has a very, very complicated relationship. Sounds like another case of conscious uncoupling here with him and his third wife. They're divorcing, but they plan to stay very close together and in contact, and they celebrated the end of their marriage at a very expensive restaurant in West Hollywood. Dice told People magazine that they're more in love and have more respect for each other now than ever before.
Oh, that's great. They should think about getting married.
This was Dice Man's third marriage. He's got two grown sons from his previous marriage to Kathleen Monica, but very strange. People celebrating the end of their relationships and staying in love when they divorce, and what's happening? What's going on? It's end times. We are in the end times.
That's true.
Unbelievable, he said. Speaking of weddings, Snooki is putting her wedding on hold. MTV star is worried that her fiancé, Gianni Lavalle, will cheat on her. She said she's just not willing to settle down with a man like that. Sure, she'll have two kids with him, but she won't marry him. Not a man like that.
Okay. Odd. That's a strange thing.
Who would ever thought we'd still be talking about Snooki in 2014?
Seriously.
How is this still a thing?
But I'm taking for granted that they were engaged.
They were for
a long
time.
Did she not think about that at that time?
Or at any time, let's say, in their relationship. Yeah. Before they started pumping out kids.
Huh.
And Kevin, you have your assignment.
I have my assignment.
Yes.
All right. I'll get right on it. Thanks.
You want to hear what it is first?
Oh, yes.
Should you choose to accept it? Dun, 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 dun. I need you to go undercover this weekend. Keep an eye out for Lena Lohan.
Ah, Coachella?
Yes. Radar Online reports that she is planning on attending Coachella this weekend. Timing.
Better late than never, right?
Nope. Not in this particular case. She's attending Coachella, and instead of bringing her boring, sober companion...
Right. She fired that guy, right?
Yes. She's bringing Good Time Mom. Dina will be tagging along at Coachella. So who knows what kind of substance abuse she's going to get into this weekend. But you're going to be there. I want you to keep your eyes peeled.
Am I supposed to buy her a drink or...
Yeah, why
what's
not?
My behavior supposed to be towards her?
Let's test her.
All right.
Get yourself a couple cocktails and then walk up to Lindsay and go, hey, Lindsay, this one's for you.
I sure can't finish this.
Oh, I'm a big fan of your work. Here's a complimentary cocktail with my gratitude.
Oprah's a bitch, right?
Yeah, how about that, huh? Here's one for Mom. Buy Mom one, too. And then sit back and watch the fireworks, and you come back and report on Monday.
I like
you give
it.
Us the full report.
I like it.
Yeah. What's going on with Coachella, by the way? A lot of they just posted the lineup, I guess, online.
Oh, the set times. I can't imagine the massive job of coming up with the set times for the... How many are there? Being 150?
I think it's around 120 or something like
different
that. But
acts.
Yeah, trying to work everybody's schedule and make things flow throughout the day when you've got so many different stages and tents going on at the same time. But they're all up at KROQ.com if you want to plan it out. And this is good advice, by the way, because you don't want to get there and then all of a sudden be in a panic because you don't know how far away something is or which, are you going to see the Pet Shop Boys? You're going to see Skrillex? I mean, those are tough choices to make on the spot. But they also, surprisingly, Kevin, like the weekend wasn't packed enough, they added a couple of acts yesterday for Saturday.
That.
Julian Casablancas from the Strokes is going to be playing at 5 o'clock at the Mojave Tent on Saturday, and the Pixies are going to be playing at 8:50 that night.
Wow, pretty cool.
Yeah, I looked through the entire lineup and the set list, and it really is difficult to see everybody that you want to see. You go watch half of this band, but then you got to go over there to watch half of this band.
Need to be organized.
It does.
I am. I am always organized as the party bus.
There is
all the bands.
There is an official app too, though, for Coachella that will give you the lineup. It lets you pick the bands that you want to see, and it'll kind of plot it out for you.
There's an app for that?
There's an app for that. Yeah.
Son of a gun.
It won't help me. I make a lot of plans that don't come true, but you know. It's worth planning, I think, to try and get to see the kids you want to see.
All right. There's a band called the Gabba Gabba Haze.
There are a lot of ridiculously named bands, and I love it.
Yo, Gabba Gabba, that should sue their ass.
Yeah, you would think, right?
We've already got the two Gabbas over here. You can't have two Gabbas.
You can't put two Gabbas in your name. Today's celebrity birthdays. Playboy magazine found Dirk.
Bless you.
Playboy magazine founder Hugh Hefner is 88 years old today.
Yeah!
Your dad. You haven't talked to your dad in a while.
It's been a while.
Dennis, he's buying into the whole he's Ralph's dad part of it.
Well, we'll just wait and see when the will's read, Kevin.
All right.
Dennis Quaid is 60 years old. Actress Cynthia Nixon is 48. Singer Kevin Martin of Candlebox is 45. Actress Jenna Jameson celebrates her 40th birthday today.
Was wow, Bell ever, or no Bell anymore.
Oh, was anyone ever no. hotter and then less hot in the span of one?
Yeah.
She's only 40.
Yeah.
That's not that
yeah.
old. Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance is 37. Keisha Knight Pulliam from The Cosby Show is 35. Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes. A lot of K-Rock bands having birthdays today. 34 years old. Jay Baruchel, very funny actor, is 32 years old. Leighton Meester is 28. Kristen Stewart turned 24. And actress Elle Fanning is 16 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, it's time for a game for the MTV Movie Awards. What we're going to do is we are going to play a clip from a movie, and you just have to tell us what it is.
Okay.
And we've narrowed it down to using movies that are in some of the categories. They're nominated for an MTV Movie Award this... Is it this weekend? It is, right?
That's right. It's going to yeah. be gonna be Sunday, yeah.
So, good luck!
It's time for Movie Palooza.
What movie is the clip from?
You'll go see the Movie Awards of...
Palooza, Palooza, Palooza.
This is Movie Palooza.
Now it's time to play the epic game.
I do think we're losing Omar. Very worried about that.
And I can't tell if he needs more drugs or fewer drugs. Something's definitely going wrong with the mix.
Oh, more. All right. Hair of the dog with the drugs.
So 1-800-520-1067. We play the scene from a popular movie you probably saw, and all you have to do is tell us what movie it is, and you will win the tickets. I think we have three pairs of tickets for the MTV Movie Awards this Sunday with Conan O'Brien hosting. Our first contestant is going to be our man Andrew, who gets us going on line one.
Hey, Andrew.
Good morning, Kevin, Bean, Lisa.
Good morning.
So we're going to give you two pieces of information. One, they're nominated for an award this weekend on MTV. And two, we're going to give you the category. So the category for this one is Best On-Screen Duo. Best okay. On-Screen Duo. Here's the clip. Name the movie.
Hey, do you need, like, goggles or earplugs or anything like that?
No. Usually the bad guys don't give us time to put on all that kind of stuff.
Okay, right. Freeze! How do you say freeze?
Freeze.
Freeze. Okay. You know what it is? You don't move your top lip that much.
All right. Andrew, what movie is that?
That's Ice Cube and Kevin Hart and Ride Along.
That is correct.
Good job.
Nicely done. We go in the drawing. Hang on. All right. Let's go to Michael. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going good.
Hey, it's going all right. Thanks
for morning, Michael.
Ready for Movie Palooza?
I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay, name this movie.
Is your landlord ready to evict you? Good.
Sorry. Best Male Performer. I was okay. supposed to say before that. Best oh, male right. performer.
Is your landlord ready to evict you? Good. Pick up the phone and start dialing. Does your girlfriend think you're a worthless loser? Good. Pick up the phone and start dialing. I want you to deal with your problems by becoming rich.
All right, Michael.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Wolf of Wall Street.
That's right.
Yep.
Nicely done.
You go. I would not have thought Michael would have had the energy to come up with that, but well done, sir. So two for two so far. By the way, too much yelling in that movie for me.
All yelling.
That
and
movie
boobs.
Was great. Yeah, boobs. That's bad. Hate to see that. Hey, Tate.
Yes.
Are you ready to play Movie Palooza?
Yes.
All right. Best, and this is quite a category, best shirtless performance.
All right.
Best shirtless performance. Name this movie.
Hello, Fennec.
Do you want a sugar cube? I mean, it's supposed to be for the horses, but, I mean, who cares about them, right? They got years to eat sugar, whereas you and I, well, if we see something sweet, we better grab it.
What movie is that?
American Hustle?
I'm sorry, that's The Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
Oh, that part.
Sorry about that.
Thanks for playing.
All right, let's go to Brian. Hi, Brian.
Good morning, guys.
Welcome to Movie Palooza. This category is WTF Moments. WTF Moments. That's the category. Here's the movie.
That's Channing Tatum.
That's Channing Tatum, dude. What the f***? Channing Tatum. I found him wandering on the freeway. I collected him, made him my bitch. Get off my I call him Channing Tate Yum.
Hardcore, man.
I got him trained good. Watch, he does tricks. Wait, shake hands.
All right, Brian,
that's
what movie?
That's a giveaway right there.
I have no clue.
That was This Is the End.
Oof.
Yeah, okay, all right.
He's underwhelmed with that answer.
All right, let's go to Daniel. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome. Welcome to Movie Palooza.
Good morning.
Your category is Best Villain. Best Villain. And here is the clip.
Captain.
The ship's broken.
Captain, no one get hurt if you don't play no game.
It's the ship's broken. We had to go.
Nobody gets hurt. Easy. Hey! Look at me.
Sure.
All right, what movie's that?
Captain Phillips.
That's correct.
All
there you go.
Right.
Nicely done. Hold on. And
that's it.
Yeah, is that it? Three. Oh, that was three.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, nice job, everybody, and thanks for playing the game Movie Palooza.
This is Movie Palooza.
Sometimes I like to listen to the radio, and I don't even know what time it is. So when I go to when I go on the dial, how do I find the station that I want to listen to and know what time it is?
Hey, Muggs, let the grown-ups talk for once. Could you please? Look, here's the thing, is that we got roped into a meeting the other day with Mr. Weatherby. And meetings don't have to last as long as they do in general.
I'm very much allergic to meetings. I can't stand meetings.
Kevin does look so miserable in meetings.
There have been meetings that I have literally marine crawled out the door. Literally just tried to get out of there because, well, it starts off with some pretty good focus, whatever the topic is, and then it just gets sidetracked by every single person that has to feel the need to talk. Yeah. And what should take 5 minutes takes 55 minutes.
Well, some people who are just marginalized in our society in general find this an opportunity to do a, hey, look at me. I mean something now. I'm important. I have value, so I need to say something so people will pay attention to me and listen to me talk.
But the ruling on the morning show is if you get called into a meeting, there are no questions. And if you ask a question, it better be super relevant, and it better apply to all of us. Like, that's important.
Yes.
So, we have this meeting with Mr. Weatherby about the morning show, and we're covering a whole bunch of topics. And Kevin's absolutely right, by the way. I think we could have been in and out of there and covered everything that we ended up covering in about 15 minutes. But instead, it was like 2 hours, right? So, Beer Mug, for whatever reason, and I can't get my head around why, thinks that he's part of the morning show. So, he decides he's going to start speaking up. And that leads to no good, right?
Well, speaking of social media... I like to post things on social media, and I like Instagram. And if I were to post my pictures on Instagram, I go there and I find there's another K-Rox Beer Mug on Instagram. So, Mr. Weatherby, our boss, how do I go about getting that back for myself so that I can post my pictures on Instagram?
So that question literally happened.
Yes, and,
not an exaggeration. Not an exaggeration at all.
And just before that, social media was one of the topics, and our boss asked us if we know anything about Twitter.
Right.
Do you guys use Twitter, or you have accounts?
How can we increase our profile?
Right.
What is it?
So
how
he
do you
did
do
his
it?
Homework.
So that's a 15-second conversation because we go, we're all doing it next.
Yeah.
And Beer Mug brings up that question that only applies to him, really.
How do I get my name back from the guy who's using my name on Instagram? Mr. Weatherby, our boss, who has nothing to do with Instagram or has no idea really anything to do with it.
And doesn't even understand it, doesn't have an account.
Muggs, why did you think that was relevant to the group? I'm seriously asking you this question.
That wasn't relevant, and I'm not going to sit here and say it was. But overall, I probably asked four questions in the meeting, and I was 2 for 4. I had two other good questions that were relevant, and you guys acknowledged, and we discussed. But yes,
Beer Mug.
Thank you. But my bad questions were the ones to stand out, of course.
You mean all of them?
Do you?
We're all bad.
Do you understand how that last question, where you're trying to get your name back
absolutely.
On Instagram, is
that's a personal problem?
That was a personal problem.
I'm not worth slowing down the meeting or causing everyone
by the way,
to wait. And
not even
to.
A personal problem that you should be worried about. Who gives an F?
Right.
Just come up with a name and
okay.
use it.
Okay, but I did bring up
if it was one-on-one with somebody, that's a bad
true.
Question.
But I did bring up relevant topics such as best of bits and singles parties. But yeah, the other ones were bad, and I would like to
scratch
those off. You chimed
in when everyone else was already talking about those things. You mean?
No, I brought them up, yo.
Yeah,
I believe Dave the King Mexico brought up singles parties,
but then I elaborated a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I meant. You chimed in on something that's already being discussed.
Here's the thing about Muggs elaborating. I'm putting that in air quotes. Is that he'll just find another way to rephrase exactly what you said. So he's not adding or
it's like I
anything.
Said, he gets a moment in the sun. It's like now
yes.
people are going to have to listen to me now. They
you know
won't,
what
they
is?
Won't be able to ignore me now.
Here's what Muggs is. Muggs is when the city council has opens up the floor to public debate. That's what Muggs is.
Right.
Muggs is the guy who's so excited that he gets to step up to the microphone and address the council.
We were shocked at some of the stuff he was asking.
Sometimes when I listen to a commercial, the voice in the commercial is very similar to another voice that I sometimes hear in another commercial. What do I do in those situations?
See, that question started off with relevancy.
How?
Because
you hear commercials?
No, because I was talking about the commercials we play during the morning show.
Right.
And how our commercial guy, Brad, voices almost 90%
right.
of them.
Right. Right.
And that's not good to have
Listen
a repetitive voice
Listen
on there.
And that's your specific job because you deal with the commercials, right?
Right.
Listen
so
to
if
me.
You got that wild hair up your ass about that, then you go to whoever you need to talk to about that after the meeting and you don't ruin our day with it.
But is that not during the show? Is that the commercials we play not part of the show?
They are, but they only... You're the only person affected by that issue, which may need to be asked in comparison with the last one, but not for all of us. Because Ralph doesn't care about that, and I don't care about that, and B doesn't care about that. That is your job, but ask it on your own time, not on ours.
Okay.
That's when we started yelling at you.
So,
you know that, right?
So,
yeah, you
that
put two and two together.
The point of all of it, you were asking questions that were just about you, had nothing to do with wasting everyone else's time in that meeting.
So mark that in the bad category.
You need less...
They're
we
all
need
in
less
the bad category.
All of them.
I don't
okay,
think
we have
so.
To ban you from if we ever have another meeting. A, you're not invited. B, if you have to be there because the boss says so, zero questions.
When I drink coffee in the morning on the morning show, sometimes I like Keurig pods, but sometimes I go to the regular kitchen and get the regular coffee. I would like to ask you, Mr. Weatherby, our boss, do you know the content of caffeine from one compared to the other? Because I would like to get maximum caffeination.
That is important.
I wish.
Yeah, I think we all agree. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I have one more question. Mr. Weatherby, our boss, I have hideous feet and yet choose to keep showing them off in flip-flops in the morning show. That's good, right?
What's going on with that?
Look, I don't have a problem with flip-flops. I really don't.
They're not for the workplace.
I agree. They're not for the workplace.
Anywhere, ever.
But there are people here who wear flip-flops. It doesn't bother me at all. But Muggs has really just ugly feet. Not to pile on, but really... And I've told him, I don't know, without exaggerating, 6 or 7 times, wear
Absolutely.
Shoes.
More than that, I would say. More than that.
I don't need to see any man's feet.
Just put shoes on.
If a girl's wearing flip-flops, it's fine. But I don't need to see any man's hairy feet.
Because girls do
as well.
Something with their feet. They make their feet look pretty.
Yeah. It's not, right. It's not acceptable.
Guys, the option is right there. Fire beer mug. That's all. I mean, how many times can we say it before we do it?
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
We'll just leave that question hanging in the ether.
I think we have an answer.
This is great news. Kim Kardashian.
Who?
Porn star Kim Kardashian busted this week. She and her vacation were having a luxurious vacation in Thailand. As they do.
Can you do that in Thailand? Luxurious?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Damn.
Mm.
For little money, you can live like a king.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's the place to go. So they're there, and they're going about the business. And, of course, everything was documented in selfies.
Sure.
And posted everywhere, all her photos, all the photos of herself that she took. And then there's a posting on her Instagram. It says, "Thank you for the beautiful memories, Thailand." And it has nearly 600,000 likes, by the way. And it's this gorgeous shot of a Thai beach with a boat pulling up to the shore and the mountains in the background. It's just gorgeous.
Sounds nice.
It is. It's a beautiful picture. That was lifted directly from Google Images.
Yeah, are you serious?
It's the first image that pops up if you type in Thailand Beach into Google Images. It's the first picture that comes up.
Oh, for God's sake.
Awesome. So she pulled it off of Google and then posted it on Instagram as if it was her own. I guarantee you all the photos of herself she took herself, but she couldn't be bothered to take photos of a country where she was vacationing, where she wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Then.
That's unbelievable.
Then she posts the beautiful pictures of the cherry blossoms of Thailand, which in fact isn't even her photo once again, comes from Imgur. And more importantly, the photo is entitled, the actual photo is entitled, the Beautiful Cherry Blossoms of Japan.
What?
She put pictures up on her Instagram of what was supposed to be cherry blossom trees of Thailand, but she stole the picture from Imgur. And it was, in fact, a picture of Japanese cherry blossom trees. Japanese cherry blossom trees. Not even the same country.
That's weird. Why?
I think her whole life is such a lie, nothing really means anything anymore. Nothing has to be genuine or real. It's all a mirage.
At least the first Google shot that
was
she put
actually
up
of Thailand, where she was.
Right.
The second picture was
awesome.
Japanese cherry blossom trees as opposed to Thai cherry blossom trees.
Fantastic.
So not only was the picture a fake, but it was a fake from another country.
Okay. All right.
She's a delight.
She's a creative genius, is what she is.
She is, that's true.
Oh, wait a minute. That's him. Speaking of which, they say that they're having troubles with the wedding already. They're having roadblocks, issues.
Kanye doesn't want anyone else there but him?
That's part of it. He is being a groomzilla, as you can imagine,
can
with all the details.
Imagine?
And then they found out, I guess someone should have looked into this before they packed their leather jogging pants wherever they were going. But you can't have an official conduct a wedding in France if you don't reside in France for 40 days before the wedding. They're set to tie the knot on May the 24th, so now they're scrambling to pack their things and move to France for 40 days so that official there will actually be able to marry them.
That's a bizarre law. Why wouldn't they want people just zipping into Paris for a week and getting married?
I have no idea.
They're getting the hell out.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be a moneymaker.
One of the parties must reside in France for 40 days before officials will conduct a wedding, says the law.
I'm surprised he doesn't just send her.
Yeah, right. No, he's, in fact, rearranging his world tour so that he can live in France for 40 days before he gets married.
That's a dumb law.
It is, but it's something I would think I would look into. I would find out about getting married in France if I was going to get married there.
Love it.
Yeah.
I like to know that kind of stuff. We may have a reason to watch The Celebrity Apprentice again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, now that I read the story.
Why? Who's on it?
You don't know her. I didn't. Brandy Glanville is her name. She's one of the Real Housewives of someplace.
She's the one who was involved in some sort of a marriage tussle over a man with Leanne Rimes, right?
Is that the ex-wife of Leanne Rimes' new husband, Eddie Cibrian?
Yes, I believe so. I believe I have that right.
Beverly Hills, then, I guess.
Pizza first! Burst!
She is apparently getting reprimanded for her behavior on the show, causing trouble with all the other contestants.
Is that right?
She is crying and complaining to Donald Trump about how she's crumbling under the pressure of the show. Because you know what a high-pressure show that is. You have to sell pizza for charity on a street corner. And apparently, according to sources on set, she's been regularly using Xanax and alcohol to deal with the drama. So she's loaded and feisty and fighting with people and crumbling and crying.
I hope they keep her on the show. That would be interesting.
I might have to watch this.
You're right.
I like it when people fall apart on that show. It's very entertaining. And I'm just curious, did Omar send in a song that I asked for?
Yes, he did.
Kevin, this made me laugh.
Yeah, me too.
Because you are the guy who hates the song of the Final Four.
One Shining Moment.
You rail and you go on and on and on about what a horrible song that is.
It's like a light rock, songs on the coast, BS, jazz, nonsensical song that they've been using for 20 years. It's stupid.
And yet you're choosing to go to the World Cup in Brazil, which features maybe one of the worst songs of all time. Have you heard the official song of the World Cup?
Just yesterday afternoon.
By Pitbull?
Yeah. And Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. Pitbull.
Yeah.
He's got a new song for the World Cup, the official song called We Are One.
Yeah.
We Are One. And I just thought, this is what you're going to be hearing every day while you're over there. I thought I'd just get you used to it now. Please enjoy the magic that is Pitbull's We Are One.
Feel the love of the world. It's our time to celebrate. It's our moment to be first.
That's
a lot
not,
of that.
That's not. That's
lyrics
not,
are amazing.
That's not.
It says,
good.
Feel compassion, feel the passion.
Yeah,
is one lyric. There's another one. Is, we are one. We have one. He rhymes one with one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is terrible. I think we can all agree on that. But it also sounds exactly like Brazil, and it sounds like something you can already in your head hear 80,000 people singing to.
You may not remember the last World Cup was that Waka Waka, Waka, Waka song.
Oh, yeah.
But at least it had her in it, for God's sakes.
Waka Waka sung by Fozzie Bear, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's true, yeah.
Waka Waka!
Yeah, that song is not good. That's not a good song.
So you're going to hear that in vuvuzelas for the rest of your days.
Mm, it's possible.
Get what you deserve watching freaking soccer.
Anybody that has a vuvuzela, though, I've already made up my mind. I'm just going to push it right into their mouth.
Just break some teeth.
Boom!
You're going to be very popular.
How do you think that'll go over?
Very well.
And then I'll point at Brad Williams.
Today's celebrity, like he could reach a vuvuzela. Today's celebrity birthdays, Playboy magazine founder, icon, legend, Hugh Hefner, everybody. He's 88 years old. Actor Dennis Quaid turns 60. It's another guy who did drugs and drank and partied his ass off his whole life. 6 years old, looks great.
Yeah.
Damn him. Cynthia Nixon. She's Sex and the City, right?
Yes.
48 years old today.
And what did we just see her on, yes, like, within the last 2 weeks? Was she on The Blacklist, maybe?
No.
Or Hannibal?
Hannibal.
Was she on Hannibal?
She was on
Hannibal. Yeah. She was on Hannibal, yeah.
Legendary porn star Jenna Jameson is 40 years old today. Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance. Fellow comic book geek. He's 37 years old. Keisha Knight Pulliam from The Cosby Show. Little Rudy on The Cosby Show. She's 35 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Ralph, I have been scolded by Angie, among other Kevin and Bean listeners, who say, do yourself a favor and Google you some Keisha Knight Pulliam. You won't believe what a beautiful woman she's
turned
into.
Yeah,
she's
gorgeous now.
Man, were they right. So,
she's
Bella Way.
All right. Stunning. Bella Way.
Bella Way.
Our new slogan.
Launch the bells.
Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes is 34 years old today. Actor Jay Jay is 32 years old today. Leighton Meester, 28 years old. Kristen Stewart, 24. Elle Fanning celebrates her 16th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Actor Tyler Labine joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we got more tickets for WonderCon, Robbie Lawler from UFC 173, and Coachella tickets all coming up on K-Rock. You know, a while ago, Kevin, last year sometime, we did a segment on all of these specialty dating sites that are out there.
Right.
And we were surprised to find out how many different ways those niches were broken down, like TrekPassions.com for Star Trek fans, PunkMatch.com if you're, you know, a punk, a rock and roller who want to meet somebody else who's into the punk scene. DateMyPet.com is one if you're just really trying to get together based on the compatibility of your animals. There's 420 Dating, which I think is pretty obvious what that's all about.
Sure.
But we just found out about one this week. One of our listeners tipped us off to an Asperger's dating site. This is new, right?
Yeah. And Asperger's, for those of you that don't know what it is, Bean has, first
nope.
of all.
Yes.
And it's with a P, not a B like it sounds, Asperger's. But here are some of the qualities in people who have Asperger's, and then you can tell us if Bean has it or not. Limited or inappropriate social interactions. Challenges with nonverbal communication. Tendency to discuss self rather than others. Inability to understand social or emotional issues. Lack of eye contact or reciprocal conversation. One-sided communication.
Okay.
Awkward movements.
I feel like that's enough of that. Okay.
Yeah, you know why? Because you're 100% an Asperger's victim. And this is what you've been looking for.
An Asperger's dating site for people who have trouble with personal communication. I can't imagine what is going on with this, but we asked producer Dave, hey, what can you find out for us? Can you get somebody on? And sure enough, from AspergersDatingSite.com, Dean Spector joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Spector.
Hello. How is everyone today?
We're good. How are you, Dean?
What's happening here?
Hi. I'm good. Thank you.
You're good. Okay, good. So, well, is this a new dating website that has just gone up?
It is new, yes. We're very excited because people with Asperger's syndrome mm-hmm. have a difficult time in social situations.
Right.
And it's hard for them to meet a regular person in society. So this way, we get people with Asperger's sharing their unique situation with each other.
Which is perfect, because the girl can talk about the girl, and the guy can talk about the guy. And
neither one notices.
So basically, it's just, I mean, the principle is the same as any other dating site, is you just look for some common ground. You already have something in common before you've ever met.
Yeah, see, you have the fact that you're damaged in common.
Right, okay.
All right.
And And one of the great things about the Asperger dating site is, is that the potential dates.
Dean, you, settle down.
The potential dates you get, they're all listed. There's a list.
You do love lists. That's one of the things.
There's a list, right?
All right, Dean. Calm down.
Is there also a map so you can see how far away they are?
There's a map of the website. Look at that.
It does sound good. So what kinds of things, I mean, do you suggest activities for the members of AspergersDating.com? Or what are they? What kind of things do they do when they get together?
That's the hard thing, is for people with Asperger's to date. Because often they'll want to go out and have a meal, but let's say the girl, it's her IHOP day.
Right.
But it's, for the boy, it's his Denny's day.
Oh, wow.
How do they put those two things together? How can one person give up IHOP or Denny's when we know you can only eat at one restaurant per day, per week, or else it all gets crazy?
Dean, settle down. settle down. You all right?
I feel like we've overexcited him.
Wow.
Oh, no!
Come on!
What happened?
What? Just talking.
You weren't even...
But...
Just the idea of going to Denny's on IHOP day.
That's it? What's weird about that dating site is it sounds a lot like me.
I know what you're talking about, man.
It's kind of crazy.
I didn't see any resemblance whatsoever to anything going on in my life, but thanks. Hey, I love that Fits in the Tantrums, by the way.
I do, too.
Just song after song. Every time we play a new record from them, it's great. That one is called The Walker here on K-Rock. Imagine Dragons coming up. Also some No Doubt and Cage the Elephant this hour. This is going to be a great segment because every couple of years we invite you, the Kevin and Bean listener, to call in and tell us about misdirected texts. You sent a text to, well, you thought you were sending it to person A, and instead, hilariously, you sent it to person B, and it didn't go over as well.
Or person B through Z. Like, it's a mass. Right. You send it out to a bunch of people, most of whom you really didn't want to see that.
Yeah, it's a super easy thing to do. I mean, let's face it. We're so, you know, on our phones all the time, and so we think we're so fast and so good and so nimble with our fingers that sometimes we're just blazing and we don't realize what we're doing. There are so many stories, by the way, of people who have done this before. Listen to this one, for instance. My wife sent me a text message asking what I wanted for dinner. I had forgotten that we were having the family over for dinner that night. I sent her a picture of my penis and asked her if that's what she wanted for dinner. Well, it turned out I sent it to her entire family because I did not see that she had asked me on a group text.
Did they all respond with yes?
I realized it and thought about driving into oncoming traffic on my way home from work that night. I mean, that's exactly the perfect example of somebody who's just in a hurry to respond with something funny and doesn't realize that it's going to everybody on the list.
Do you guys remember? I don't think it was last year. I think it was like 3 or 4 years ago at Coachella. And I have problems at Coachella, let's be honest.
And you have problems with texting, even when you're not at Coachella.
Yeah, my communication skills are shaky at best, and then you add Coachella to it. So I was texting Omar over and over, like, hey, are you coming out or not? What's going on, effer? And then I didn't hear anything, and I was like, you used every curse word in the book, because that's how Omar and I talk. And I was probably 4 or 5 texts in before somebody texted back, this isn't Omar. Would you please stop texting me?
Oh, my God.
Literally said, would you please stop texting me?
But that's, in a way, though, if you're going to have to misdirect a test, that's best case scenario because at least it wasn't somebody you knew that could have been embarrassing for you. At least it was a stranger. You just annoyed somebody else rather than embarrassing
yourself.
Yeah,
that is a lot better than sending it to somebody who it can actually do damage to.
Right. So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have a story about sending a text to the wrong person, and the reason we thought about this is I was catching up with a friend of mine on the phone last week who was coming to April Foolishness. He was going to be at the show on Saturday. So I called him on the phone last week and I said, hey, who are you bringing? And he explained to me that he had been seeing this new girl and that she was really hot and that he was looking forward to bringing her to the show. He said, I can send you some pictures if you want to see them, but I'm going to warn you, they're a little bit racy. You may want to delete them afterwards. Well, I'm no fool. I said, yeah.
Yeah, by the way, you're going to ask Bean that if he wants to see those and maybe they're a little shady?
Yeah, right.
He's so all I over said, that.
Yeah. So like 5 minutes goes by. And he calls back and he goes, dude, did you get the pictures that I sent? And I said, no, I haven't gotten anything. And he said, there was a pause. He said, oh, I think I just did a terrible thing. I think
I just sent those pictures to my wife. Now, wives and girlfriends, not a good match.
In general, they don't get along.
No, not a good match at all. He'd been having some problems with his wife, sort of separated, but in that nebulous gray area of who knows where it's going to go next. In his mind, he knew where it was going to go next, and it involved this hot chick.
Right.
In her mind, maybe she didn't need to find out about it that way that he was dating somebody.
Oh, that's the worst, man. Especially if they have different expectations. It's not like they both said, we need to get a divorce, let's move on.
Yes.
It was still up in the air until the text meant for being.
Text arrived. I hope at least the wife acknowledged what a great ass the girlfriend has. I hope that happened.
God. Now I'm going to doubt it. I'm just going out on a limb. I'm guessing just like you are, but I'm going to say no.
So that's what we're looking for here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Thought you were texting one person, texted someone else. Let's try Robin to get us going here. She is on line one, and she's definitely one of our people.
Hey, Robin.
Hi, Kevin Bean.
Hello.
I had a fight with my boss, so I texted my boyfriend, and I said, Diana is a B word. And I accidentally sent it to Diana.
The one that you were just fighting with?
Yeah, and she was, like, my direct boss. And so she texted me back with question marks, and I just had to say, like, I'm really sorry, I was frustrated about our fight, and I was just venting to my boyfriend. Like, I didn't mean to cause you any disrespect, and she just went on like it was inappropriate. But I kept my job, so that was cool.
Really? That's a pretty cool boss.
Yeah.
No, she was the B word.
Even now. Wow.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Robin. Let's go to Jennifer. She's on line six. Again, in your worst nightmare category when it comes to text. Jennifer, what happened to you?
Oh, my gosh. I was trying to send a text to this guy I've been hooking up with and sent it to my son's friend who had the same name as the guy.
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
How old was your son?
I think it was about 15 at the time.
Okay, even worse.
Oh,
okay.
God, what happened?
Because 8, you know, that's a disaster. But 15, now he's going to say that for the rest of his life.
Absolutely. It's been mortifying. I can't live it down.
How extreme was it?
Very descriptive. Let's just put it like that.
Okay. All right. Okay. All good right. times.
He's thinking, wow, your mom is awesome, dude.
Can't believe it. Day.
She's the best.
All right, let's go to Audrey. She's on line three. By the way, a lot of ladies involved in the accidental text. I'm sure it happens to everybody, but so far it's been all girls. Hi, Audrey. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
You sent the text to the wrong person. Who was it?
So basically, there is this guy that was in my class who kept kind of bothering me, and he was kind of annoying, but he was really smart, so I was getting like free tutoring. And I was making sure to not send him the wrong, like, kind of vibes or anything.
Right.
Because he has a boyfriend. Except for when I went lingerie shopping, and my boyfriend has the same name. And I was sending descriptive texts about what I was going to do with the new lingerie that I was buying.
Right.
And so he just didn't leave me alone for 3 years.
Oh, my God. For three? You explained to him it wasn't meant for you?
Yeah, but he was just so convinced that it was... I was just fighting my emotions.
Oh, no.
That's fantastic. Now that he knows how you feel about him, he's never going to let you go. That's fantastic.
That was before I changed my phone number, so I'm sure he still thinks that way.
Wow, you had to go the whole way. I love it.
All right, Audrey, thanks for the call. Dear Kevin and Bean, I was drunk. I thought I was sending my girlfriend Monica the text, what color panties are you wearing? Instead, I sent it to my mother.
Oh.
The reply 3 minutes later, black. We have never spoken about this. Since. I think that's wise. All right, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. More calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dear Kevin and Bean, I texted a YouTube video of a guy doing one-armed push-ups. I thought I was sending it to my girlfriend, but instead I sent it to my boss, who lost his arm in a biking accident.
Oh, nice.
He
was a good sport about it. He said, well, I'm going to have to try that out. Thanks. He laughed about it for a while and said that everybody had always avoided talking about his arm, so it actually worked out fine. He's a great guy. By the way, he also ran a half marathon with my girlfriend and me. He is a rock star. So that one didn't work out too badly. But we're taking your stories of where you sent the text to the wrong person, the person you did not intend it to go to, and it was not great.
That's the story that kicked it off was a friend of ours who sent the text pictures of the girlfriend to the wife.
And yes,
that didn't seem like that perhaps was the best idea.
By the way, apparently with some wives, that's uncool, to which I say, why are you so uptight? Hey, let's go to Allison. She's on line one. She'll get us going here at 1-800-520-1067. This is fun because this didn't happen to us. This only happened to
her. Yeah, that's always the best. Mm-hmm. Hey, Allison.
Hi.
What did you send and who did you send it to wrongly?
Okay, so I I work in the human resources department, and we had just hired a new employee, and I'm her boss, and I was texting her late at night regarding work, and I was also texting my husband. I sent my husband a full body naked picture, and when I was hitting send, I saw her name at the top, and I saw the little bubble going across that I was sending to her,
oh.
And I just started panicking. I was like, oh my gosh, she's brand new in our department.
Wait, and you're in HR?
Yeah.
Oh, oh my God.
You're the best HR guy ever.
Yeah, I was so mortified and so embarrassed, and
so how did she react when she got it? I hope she wrote you back and said, I'm in.
Yeah. What time?
I just wrote her back, and like immediately after the picture sent, and I said, please don't look at it. It's the iPhone, so all you have to, you still see the picture no matter what. And she said, I just won't open it. And I said, I know you will. Just, I'm so embarrassed. And she's like, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. It's totally fine. And she was really cool about it and made me feel extremely comfortable that I was the one that was mortified because I'm her boss.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. And she couldn't very well report it to HR either, so.
Yeah, she could have. You would have said, yeah, I look pretty good, don't I?
All right, Allison, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it, my dear. Let's go to CJ. He is on line two, and he's up next.
Hi, CJ.
Morning, everyone. How's
you
doing?
Accidentally sent the text to somebody else. Who?
Actually, I was the victim of this text.
All right.
I was about 17, and I was at school, and I get a random text from my dad. Saying that he wants to do all these nasty things to my stepmom.
No.
Oh, you don't need to know about that.
I did not want to know about it at all. It was very disturbing and awkward, and I called him out on it later, telling him he needs to watch what he sends in his text messages. And I'm pretty sure he was just as embarrassed as I was.
Of course.
I'm sure he was. Look,
you should have texted back. Let me know how that goes.
here's the policy. We don't ever want to think of our parents having sex ever. If they did, they did it one time
right.
to have us, to get pregnant with us, and that was the last time they ever did it or thought about it. That's the way it's supposed to be, and we're supposed to be able to have that pure thought of our folks.
Yeah.
Exactly. You want to keep your head clear for the rest of your life. You don't ever want to think about that.
Yeah, because once you see that, you can never go back.
Exactly. That Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate that, CJ. Let's jump down to line four, please. This is going to be Derek. He had something completely different, but just as embarrassing.
Hi, Derek.
Hey, how's it going?
What was the text? Who'd you send it to?
Okay, so one of my friends, she always sends, you know, awesome pictures of food and stuff like that. And usually to me, and so I thought it was nothing different. She sent a picture of some Black Forest ham, and I was like, oh, delicious. And I'm a black guy, so I thought this was a perfect opportunity. So I took a picture of my butt, and then I sent it and said, how about these Black Forest hams? And
I like your response. Man. You did the right thing.
So I didn't, you know, I looked again, and then I can see on the top there's multiple numbers, like probably the maximum amount, and I was just like, oh, like, what? Who did I just send this to? There's a bunch of numbers I didn't recognize, and who knows? Like, luckily, nothing really happened, nothing really came of it, but I still, that was extremely embarrassing for me, and like, you know, I was kind of freaking out for a second.
What you're saying is that 20 people who may not even know you all of a sudden got a picture of your ass on their phone.
Yes.
Yeah, and with the message, what do you think of this Black Forest ham? Come on, that's awesome.
Well done, sir. Well done. Thank you so much for the call. Let's move along now. We got Kyle on line five. He's up next.
Turns out a lot of people have done this.
Yeah.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, guys.
What happened?
Yeah, I sent my now wife, fiance at the time, a picture of her engagement ring 3 days before I proposed.
Oh, aww. Dude. Oh, that's a bummer, but... It's not getting details on your dad's sex life or anything.
No.
I mean,
yeah, who are you true. Trying to send it to?
I was just talking to my buddy, you know, making the old, hey, look what I'm about to do.
And then your buddy was sending back, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So essentially, you ended up proposing to your girlfriend via text message.
Well, I had this big old elaborate thing scheduled, so I'm a really good BS spinner, so I just spun it around until she got sad that I wasn't looking at rings for real.
Gotcha. All right. So
well played.
Fixed with a lie. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's go to Sylvia. She's on line eight. She's up next.
Hi, Sylvia.
Hello.
Hi.
You okay?
Hey, yeah.
What's up?
All right.
I got choked up there.
Okay.
But anyways, probably like a few months ago, A few months ago, my ex-boyfriend now, started texting. I had texted him about doing something, and he started texting his brother talking to his new girlfriend.
He sent his brother topless pictures of his nude girlfriend?
No. He was talking about his new girlfriend to his brother.
Right.
Where'd you get the topless photos, Kevin?
I don't know. Her phone cut out. I was trying to figure out what she was saying.
We were all hoping
photos. Yeah, it's probably
I don't think we had them yet.
Just hope.
So instead of sending the information to his brother, he sent it to you. So that's how you found out about his new girlfriend.
Yes, exactly. That he was cheating on me.
Good times.
Nice.
Good times indeed. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Sylvia, one more. How about Kathy? Line 3, please.
Could have been topless.
Hi, Kathy.
It should have been.
Hey, how are you guys?
We are good. What happened?
I accidentally, me and my husband are pretty good about texting explicit things back and forth to each other. Well, my 19-year-old son at the time, who's now 21, was texting me at the same time. And unfortunately, he got the really explicit text about what I was going to do to his dad.
Oh, my God.
And he responded back with, "Mom?" ?" And I'm like, oh my God, I am panicking. I'm calling my husband. I'm going, oh my God, I just sent Sean this. I can't believe I did this. How am I going to pull it back? And my son just looked at it the next day when I saw him. He goes, "Mom, I started to read it." He goes, "I just deleted it." He goes, "I'm scarred for life."
Yeah. Yeah. There's a therapist couch in his future.
Now that I know how much sexy time is going on text messages, I got to get me a job at the NSA.
Yeah, because they get to see all that?
All that.
Yeah.
Because you'll never doubt one.
Can you imagine, though? That would be an awesome job.
It would be.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, Kathy, keep doing what you're doing.
You're doing the right thing, except for the whole sending it to the sun thing.
Thanks,
thank you.
Guys.
Thank you. You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:52.
Quick reminder, you go to KROQ.com this morning. You can see the complete lineup, sets and times and stages for everything having to do with Coachella Weekend 1 starting this Friday. And we'll have tickets that you can win at 9 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're running out of time to get those, you know, because the thing is this weekend. Ralph, it's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat What?
By the way, just as a side note, for those of you that can't go, it is going to be shown on YouTube both weekends this time.
Oh,
what
that's
the
cool.
What? Yeah. So that's kind of cool. Coachella just tweeted that out.
All the bands?
I don't know exactly how
like
that works.
All the stages? Will they have a different channel for each stage?
I'm not exactly sure how that works.
I'll have to look into it.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's talk. Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen,
hey,
I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
I think it's sold out, Dave. I don't think there's any more tickets available.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like, where is there...
I guess maybe...
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there?
We'll have nothing tonight, and...
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
Actually, yes, I do know that. There's tons of rooms available. There's nothing but rooms at the Marriott.
How far is the festival from the Marriott, Palm Desert, do you know?
It's about 50 feet. It's right there.
And when do they get the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
No. Early morning, around 6 a.m.
6 a.m. to 10 a.m. is when all the action
really
happens.
The Primo bands are playing really early in the morning.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
Yeah, we knew that.
Hoff's got a lot of questions this year.
He does.
Speaking of music, tomorrow night, Nirvana gets inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah!
Some very exciting news just popped up on the Foo Fighters web Facebook page. There's a photo showing all of their equipment that they'll be playing tomorrow night when they take the stage. There's two guitars, bass, drums plugged in, ready to go. The guitar in the middle obviously belongs to Joan Jett.
Are you serious?
So this means everyone is interpreting this that Joan Jett will fill in for the late Kurt Cobain when the surviving members of Nirvana perform at the ceremony.
Oh, my God. Really?
So Joan will sing the lead on the Nirvana set.
If that's true, that's a great choice.
That is a great choice because she is amazing, and she can certainly sing any Nirvana tune. And I know they have a standing relationship. I know Dave and the boys have worked with Joan before, and they're friends. So that'd be pretty cool.
Yes. Kiss, kiss.
All right.
Bang, 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 bang.
I don't think that's one of their hits.
And I think we have to wait at least a couple of weeks before it finally airs on HBO. It's held tomorrow night, but then they hold it until it later, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see the special later. Speaking of Nirvana, it's hard to believe, but they're still having a major fashion impact, Kurt Cobain especially. Marc Jacobs, legendary designer, is going to... or has debuted the Smells Like Teen Spirit fashion line.
I feel like that was a real moment in time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily going to hold up now.
Mark launched his career making flannel shirts, Doc Martens, and cashmere thermal underwear inspired by the band. That's how he started. In 2006, he revisited the grunge scene, and he's bringing it back.
All right.
Plaid shirts, the granny cardigans, the floral dresses, they're all coming back into style. So Kurt Cobain.
They do say that fashion repeats itself, and is it about a 20-year cycle usually that it takes for things to become popular again? So we're about right.
That's what they say. More music news. Jack White will be on the road this summer if you want to check him out. His second solo album, Lazaretto, comes out on June the 10th. But the tour is going to kick off on May the 29th in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We'll close with a gig at the Oshiga Music and Arts Festival in Montreal, which runs from August 1st through the 3rd. I don't think you can get... Maybe
they're only selling one ticket per show.
I don't know.
Right?
That's right. You watch it, then he's going to run away, and he's going to make an album, and then he's going to hand it to you. It's going to be a very complex evening.
He wants to play for
music.
Each person individually.
That's right. And since you guys are talking about Coachella, let aloha! We'll be attending this weekend.
Yeah, you remember before even when she had to go to rehab or something, she was trying to weasel her way to Coachella before it happened. Jail, maybe.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Before it happened, she told the judge she'd really like to go to Coachella.
Well, she likes the boys who play in bands.
She does.
We know that for a fact.
She does.
But I don't think there's going to be any problems with her falling off the wagon because she is bringing along a companion who I'm sure will keep her in line. Her mom, Dina. Oh, wait a minute. That was the one she was doing blow with in the back of the limo, and they were fighting about stuff and things like that.
Yeah. Can you imagine how quickly she's going to ditch Dina? It's pretty easy to do at Coachella.
Yeah. And Dina will be falling down drunk by the time they get there, so it'll be really easy.
Lindsay will just walk her out to the car, lay her down in it.
That's right.
Go have some fun.
Go watch the bands.
Now, Kevin, are you going to try to get on Lindsay's next handwritten list while you're there?
Yeah.
You bump into her?
Look, I do what I have to do. If you have that opportunity, you got to take it. Pretty much have to.
Speaking of Kevin's girlfriends, Scarlett Johansson is upset with you, Kevin.
Well, I've been strangely unavailable to her.
She doesn't like the nickname ScarJo.
I've never called her ScarJo.
You call her ScarJo.
Never.
You have. In those lonely, dark moments when your pants are on your ankles, you've said ScarJo. She calls it tacky, insulting, lazy, and flippant, the nickname.
Take it easy.
So if you see her, not call her ScarJo. It's insulting. It's lazy. It's flippant. She says names like that should be associated with pop stars, not serious actresses.
Take it easy.
And she hopes that her fans see her in a more grown-up light than that sort of nonsense. So do not call her ScarJo when you see her. She'll take you out. Black Widow style.
Do you think most celebrities like their nicknames, like the Brangelinas and Lilo and things like that? Or do you think most of them are annoyed by it?
I don't think... Many of them have a feeling one way or the other about
really?
It.
As long as you're talking about them, I think.
Yeah, I don't think. They don't use it in their real life, so it never really crosses their paths, except what they see in the tabloids. I mean, how upset can you get? If that's the worst thing to say about you in the tabloids, you're in good shape. And since we're talking about tabloids, tabloid fodder Farrah Abraham is back in the news. You know, she's writing a trilogy of romantic sex novels. I don't know if you knew this or not.
I did not, I don't think.
Yeah. She is, she's an author now. And she said she would like the lead in her books to be played by Jessica Alba in the big screen versions of her books.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
That's nice. We'll just make that happen. Yes, I would love for Jessica Alba to tackle the role of Fallon Opal. That's the name of her lead character, Fallon Opal.
Oh, my God. Just based on the name alone, that's a no.
It sounds like a parody of a romance novel.
It does.
Fallon was sitting on the bed with her bosoms heaving. Fallon Opal. She's writing a new book, by the way. A true life nonfiction book about celebrity sex tape in the making. About her situation when she was making her celebrity sex tape.
She made a sex tape with The Situation?
Oh, Gillian.
Farrah Abramson.
If nothing else, this girl has big brass ones.
I mean, yeah, she does.
She has no, there's no self-doubt in her life. She has all confidence, all bravado all the time. It's remarkable.
There are some people who really should have self-doubt.
That stuns me. There's some people who just get by through life just on sheer arrogance and bravado. Not it doesn't seem like self-doubt creeps into their mind one iota.
Yeah.
And invariably, there seems to be a disproportionate relationship between ego and talent in those situations, where they just think they've just got it all, and they have so little. Armenian comedian.
Yeah.
Springs to mind. Today's celebrity birthdays. Elle Fanning is 16 years old today. She's adorable and super talented. Kristen Stewart's 24. Leighton Meester's 28 years old. Jay Baruchel is 32 years old. So funny in This Is the End. Is that the end of the time movies?
Yeah.
Albert Hammond Jr. of the Strokes is 34. Keisha Knight Pulliam is 35 years old. Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance turns 37. Jenna Jameson is 40 years old today. Cynthia Nixon turns 48. Dennis Quaid is 60. And Playboy magazine founder of the Playboy empire, Hugh Hefner, celebrates his 88th birthday today. He's going to celebrate by playing some backgammon in his captain's hat, eating some pudding.
Going to bed by 7:30.
I think his best days are behind him.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our pal Tyler Labine from Reaper is back with a new show called Deadbeat. We'll talk to him in about 10 minutes or so on that. Sounds like a lot of fun. First, though, the Kevin Bean Afro Line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. It's our voicemail. You call, leave a message 24 hours a day. We play it back on the radio.
Who was it? The actress that's in Divergent that said that you need to get sunshine on your vagina?
Yes, it was.
Shailene Woodley, right?
Yes. Yeah, well, Bean made a little song that goes a little something like this.
Sunshine on my
vagina
makes me happy.
Right?
God damn it, Bean! I gotta listen to you talk about vaginas and sunshine and then sex robots? God damn it!
I think you've got a fan, is what I think.
You're welcome.
2 days ago, I woke up to Bean talking about having virtual robot sex. Yesterday, I woke up to Bean wanting to buy Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment. Thanks, Creepy Bean. This morning, I woke up to Carson Daly.
Nice choice. I think that's a good choice. Probably smart.
About time in her life that she made an upgrade, I guess.
Bean is very, very, very upset for those of you that say daylight savings time. Daylight savings time, because there's no S on savings. And he needs you to know that he will correct you until the end of days if you do it wrong.
Damn it, Bean. If I'm not allowed to say daylight savings time, you can't say for reals. No S at the end of for reals, you moron! God damn it!
Now, for reals, though, people say that because it's funny, right?
Yes.
No one really thinks it's actually for reals. We say that because it's funny.
Yeah.
But I will tell you what I learned yesterday, Kevin, from many of our listeners, and this was eye-opening to me, apparently the plural of Lego is Lego. Apparently there's no such thing as Legos. Apparently, according to the kids, Lego is the plural of Lego.
So you see, I'm going to go play with my Lego?
Yes, so we were berated for talking about the Legos yesterday.
Well, those
the Legos
should all just be
yesterday.
Deported as well.
But here's my point. If that turns out to be true and they're right, I won't call it Legos anymore. I'll call it Lego because that's what it's supposed to be called.
I'm going to call it Legos for the rest of my life.
That's all I'm saying with daylight saving time is once you hear that it's supposed to be the other way to be correct, go ahead and just say it the other way. It's not that hard.
A little too much information on this one.
Oh, my God. I feel so much better. I just took a huge beer mug. Hi, Lisa May.
Well, that was creative.
Let's start using that expression. It's perfect.
I hate when I can't smell my farts. Stupid healthy diet.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's too much information right there.
Kevin.
This one, by the way, came in just before, I think it was on Monday it came in, as they were looking forward to the national championship in college basketball.
Kevin, right? It's almost here. You know what time it is. NCAA tournament's almost over. You know what that means. One shining moment!
Yeah, that happened. That's
your song, man.
That happened. Speaking of the songs.
Part of us,
Look out, here comes a potibus. What should I do? Just let it go. I cannot speak on the radio. Look out, here comes a potibus.
That's fantastic.
That's a pretty good song, right?
Kevin has a new theme. I love it.
Lisa, you haven't told us in a while about Butthole Week. I'm not exactly sure if we've missed it or what's going on.
Hey, Lisa May. I miss Butthole Week.
What's the story on that?
Well, I'm a judge now.
Oh, you're a judge.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Yeah,
Lisa hasn't been in competition for years.
You won,
I see.
You know, gold 3 times.
I see.
Let some other people have at it.
I got
So I judge.
Lisa judges, and Lisa also sings.
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
Okay, I'll stop talking. Just stop yelling at me, Lisa May.
Jesus.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Tyler Labine is next. Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. That, of course, is Muse. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Muse goes on Saturday night of Coachella at 11:30 on the main stage. And the way I know that is the set times are up. You can go to KROQ.com.
Awesome.
You can go to KROQ.com and find out every single band that's playing and what time they're playing and what location. One of the tents or one of the stages, wherever, it's at krock.com.
And if you don't have your tickets yet for Coachella weekend number one, we will hook you up in about 30 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. Our old friend Tyler Labine is on the phone, of course, from Reaper, from the awesome Tucker and Dale versus Evil, from Rise of the Planet of the Apes. So much good stuff. He's back with a new series on Hulu, of all places. It is called Deadbeat. Let's find out more about it. Hi, Tyler. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, guys. I'm good, except I don't have a ticket to Coachella.
Yeah. We're out.
Oh, all right, I've been waiting on the line for like 3 hours.
Oh, sorry.
But aren't you TV's Tyler Labine? All you have to do is call Hollywood and they hook you up, right? That's how that works.
Is that I just call Hollywood directly?
You call 411 and you say, what's the number for Hollywood? And then you call them and you just say Coachella and somebody will bring you the tickets.
Well, I didn't know it was that.
And then they'll carry you on their shoulders around the festival.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah. Good. I'm going to do that.
So good luck with that.
So, Tyler, Hulu, that's a thing.
Yeah, it is a thing, and it was actually a very big thing, maybe not known for what the thing they're about to do is, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah, it totally makes sense, because most people use Hulu to go and catch shows that have aired on television. Now Hulu, like Amazon and like Yahoo and like Netflix and like any other provider, says, hey, we have original programming too, check it out.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy world right now, you know, like the whole network TV game is very aligned now with these guys. Or I should say the other way around. These guys are very aligned with network TV. We're not making, like, herky-jerky, you know, web series anymore. This is like we made a TV show that's just, you can get it elsewhere.
Yeah, we used to talk about the 500-channel universe. Now we're on our way to the 10,000-channel universe because anybody can make TV. It's the problem for us consumers now is how to make time to see it all. But this is why what you're doing in the Netflix model is kind of awesome at Hulu, which is all 10 episodes of Deadbeat are available today, and people can watch them whenever they want.
It's binge TV, my friend.
Yep.
And, like, you know, I remember back in the day when you would go and buy, like, you know, 3 seasons of 24 and, like, lock yourself in your basement for 4 days.
Right.
And feel like you were kind of cheating, you know? You were like, oh, my God, I got one over on everybody there. I'm caught up. Now they're designing shows to be binged. That's, like, how we want you to view it. And it was, like, evident in the writing and the production of this show, which made for, like, a totally different experience making it, you know? Like, we were able to pay attention to all the little nuances because we knew, like, hopefully you're not that stoned that you're forgetting every detail.
Right.
You know, in 4-minute increments. But, you know, it's all coming at you, so we could have a...
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of being stoned, your character is a little bit of a pothead, and he is also...
No,
I'm your character. And your character, Kevin, by the way, is also a guy who talks to ghosts, for folks who haven't heard too much about Deadbeat. Mm-hmm. And he for reals, talks to ghosts.
He does for reals. He's a medium. He's kind of this, like, downwardly mobile, hapless New York medium stoner. I don't think I've ever put that cluster of words together.
I don't think anyone has.
No, I don't think so. It's simple. It's easy to relate.
And it's super fun, though, right?
It is. It's a half-hour comedy. It's like we're kind of – I don't want to say we're like taking a swing at like procedural-type supernatural, you know, paranormal shows. But
right.
And we're not like – we're certainly not lampooning them, but we're really kind of flipping that genre and just looking at like the lighter side of it, you know, and making a comedy.
It is funny in that most of the people that inhabit that world for real are complete scams.
Totally.
And your character is not, but you're getting pretty much nothing out of it.
Yeah, he's like getting paid in boxes of like ill-fitted women's clothing. Like he's not making a great deal of money out of this. He hasn't even figured out that you can really monetize it, which is funny because the other character in the show, who's played by Kat Deeley, her name is Camomile White, and she's this massive like televised medium star who has like her own line of like tampons and e-cigs, and she's like writes paranormal erotica. She's like, you know, she's doing it all, but she can't actually talk to ghosts. And we meet, and I discover that she's a sham. She assumes I'm a sham because nobody's an actual medium, and thinks that I'm trying to like topple her empire. But really, I'm just trying to like get in her pants. I have a big crush on her.
Sure, as you should be in real life. By the way, she is freaking gorgeous.
I know. She's one of those girls I've been talking. You have to realize I've been talking about her ad nauseum for 3 hours, and I'm still not tired of it.
Yeah.
I love her.
I feel you.
She's
hey, listen, woman. I know you only have a minute here before you have to go, Tyler, but I want to play a clip for the kids who haven't had a chance yet to go over to Hulu and see the new Tyler Labine show. It is called Deadbeat. It's a very funny show, and you'll get an idea of your character talking to the actor who played Brandon Jackson, who plays your drug dealer, Roofy. You've come up a little bit short trying to buy pot, and here's why.
I can't keep flowing you like this. Come on, Roof. I'm sorry, Roofy. I don't know what you want me to say, man. I'm not getting jobs like I used to, okay? People are living longer, so there's fewer ghosts, and everybody's so desensitized to these hauntings because of the paranormal festivity movies. Plus, you know, I've just gotten, like, so lazy.
I think you... selling yourself short, man.
Am I?
You got a prodigious ability. You know, you got to capitalize on that. You don't charge your clients enough.
You know what? My clients are usually more willing to put up with the ghosts than they are with me, so...
Okay, whatever.
It's your life.
It is my life.
Your life.
And I want to be high.
There you go. That tells you what you need to know about Deadbeat. It's very funny. Tyler, you are great on it, and when you have some time, come in and sit with us for a while. We'd love to see you again, dude.
I'd love to. It'd be fun to come in, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tyler.
Bye now.
Take care.
All right, let's give away some tickets for WonderCon, shall we? 1-800-520-1067. If you know your superheroes, you call now, and we'll play the game when we get back on.
Ralph, you hear that Tyler Labine interview?
Yeah, I love Ty. He's great.
I love Ty, too. I feel so much better now that we've gotten past that, because you know how afraid of his show I was. It's just, it's hard to, you know, I was kind of scared, you know, having him on and everything. Because he was on that show for all that time. So I was so afraid of.
Yeah. All right. Moving on.
Oh, you.
What show was – I'm having trouble. What was the
– Don't fear the Reaper Beam.
Yay!
Okay.
The kids
now we can
like
move
that.
On.
The kids
now
did
we
not
can
like
on.
That.
The kids loved it. Hey, how about WonderCon? It's Woo! Coming to the Anaheim Convention Center April 18th through the 20th. Your man, Ralph Garman, is going to be there on a DC Comics Batman panel.
Yeah.
Ralph, what do we need to know about the tickets you're giving away today?
We're doing trivia all week long, comic book trivia all week long for folks who want to attend WonderCon there in Anaheim. Brought to you by the people who give you the San Diego Comic-Con. It's all the same family. And this is a great event. I want to do some comic book trivia. Today's trivia quiz is going to be about the famous hometowns and bases of operations for superheroes. And because of the way they're set up, this is going to be all DC comic superheroes because most of the Marvel universe lives in real cities, like Spider-Man works in New York City, for example.
Okay.
And so does you know, Captain America. So it would be hard to name those cities. But these are fictional comic book cities, and you need to give me the name of the superhero who famously operates in this city, okay? It's our Wonder Contest.
Today is going to be the day that we have WonderCon for you.
Yeah.
And now we're going to tell you how to win, what you have to do. All you have to do is answer the question that Ralph Garman has for you now. Because we're playing. Yeah, we're playing for WonderCon. This is WonderCon Test.
Wow.
He threw in Test.
He did, right there at the
end. That jingle is so good, it could almost be a real song. Almost.
Almost.
All right, Ralph, let's go to your first contestant, shall we? This is going to be Clara. She is on line one, and she gets us started.
Now, I do want to remind people that in comic books, especially in comic books, there's a lot of flux, a lot of change. You know, superheroes will move to another city or
right.
something. But these are traditionally, famously, the cities where these superheroes either come from or operate in. Okay?
All right, Clara, you ready for your question?
Yes, I hope so.
All right, Claire, here you go. Your city, your fictional DC Comics city is Central City. What superhero works out of Central City?
Oh, man. couldn't you have said the ocean or something?
Could I have said the ocean?
The ocean.
Sure. Yeah, I could have said that, but that would be dumb. Central City. What superhero operates in Central City?
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I don't know. pay you?
Just pay me?
Just pay you?
Pay you for the tickets?
The Flash. The Flash operates out of Central City.
Sorry, Clara. You can send us money, but it won't help you get into WonderCraft. Yeah. Scott is our next contestant. Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Scott. Famously, what superhero from the DC Universe operates out of Coast City?
That would be Green Lantern.
Green Lantern. Well done, sir. Nice. Congratulations. You're going to Comic-Con.
WonderCon.
Well, WonderCon, Comic-Con. It's all the same.
It is? They call it that? Okay.
Well, it's from the Comic-Con people.
Andrew, hello.
Good morning, party people.
Morning, Andrew. What superhero operates out of Fawcett City?
Captain Marvel, Shazam.
Well done, sir. Captain Marvel. That boy knows his stuff.
Look at that. We got two left.
Fawcett City, that's
Fawcett
a place?
City. Yeah, Fawcett City, sure. You know why they call it Fawcett City?
No, tell me.
Because originally Captain Marvel was a character in Fawcett Comics. And when DC bought the rights to Captain Marvel, they placed him in Fawcett City as an homage to the original comic book company that he came from.
Hey, Ralph, next time, Bean, next time Ralph asks us if we want more information, say no.
How dare you,
sir? I'm bored!
You don't know, man.
Sergio, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Sergio. What DC Comics superhero traditionally, famously, was based out of Bloodhaven?
Bloodhaven. I know this.
Bloodhaven.
It's the Green Arrow?
No, I'm sorry. No, it was Nightwing. Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson, after he was Robin, became Nightwing and operated
easy, Sergio.
Out of Bloodhaven. Sorry, Sergio, you're not going.
It's like he was being stabbed for not having the answer correct.
All right. Bloodhaven's a rough town.
Let's go to Alex. Hi there.
Hey.
Alex, you're a lucky man. You called, and this is your randomly chosen question. It came up to you. Atlantis. What superhero famously lived in Atlantis? Aquaman.
That's right.
Well done, sir.
Congratulations. We have one pair left. Let's go to Ruben. Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going, guys?
Good, Ruben. What superhero in the DC Universe famously made his home in Ivy Town?
Adam.
The Atom! Woo!
Wow.
Yeah, Ruben! It's one of my favorite fictional comic book towns, Ivy Town. And he was a college professor at Ivy University. It was an Ivy League school.
Wow.
You see.
Yeah.
Ivy Town.
The 27th annual WonderCon happens April 18th through the 20th at the Anaheim Convention Center. Thanks for playing the Wonder Contest. This is
WonderCon. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at
852.
Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate that.
Pretty sure those are the lyrics, though.
I think they are.
Yeah.
Hey, young man in the next room is getting ready to join us is a guy who picked up a lot of new UFC fans in that very, very close fight against Johnny Hendricks at UFC 171. He just narrowly lost in a unanimous decision to Johnny. But he is going to be back on UFC 173. We're talking about ruthless Robbie Lawler coming into the Kevin and Bean Show right after the top of the hour. Plus, we've got your Coachella tickets as well. First, though, Ralph takes a look at the showbiz beat.
I heard Beer Mug wore flip-flops today because he said he was going to take them. He was going to take them down.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah, they were going to spar.
He did wear flip-flops, so
yeah,
I guess.
So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Yeah. He's trained and all.
He said he could kick Robbie's ass.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll wait and see what happens.
Many times.
Said Robbie was ugly and his mom was, too, I remember.
I remember that, yeah. He said he would hit Robbie so hard his entire family would feel it.
That's right.
That's what he said. It's weird, man. Speaking of fighting, pro wrestler James Brian Helwig has passed away. This is stunning news. You know him better as the Ultimate Warrior. He was a legend back in the day. His fight against Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 6 was one for the ages. He was just inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame days ago. He was also there at WrestleMania 30. He'd give a very stirring speech about his time with the WWE, and now he's passed away. No official cause of death yet, but he was just 54 years old, survived by his wife Dana and his two daughters. So sad news. Boy, he was ripped back in the day, the Ultimate Warrior.
He was so strong that he picked up Andre the Giant and threw him.
Yeah, he was shredded.
Wow.
Congratulations to The Bachelor creator and executive producer Mike Fleiss. He got married over the weekend at his Malibu mansion. He married he's 49 years old, Mike Fleiss, married a 26-year-old former Miss America at his Malibu mansion. This guy is living the dream.
Yeah.
Where should I have my wedding? I guess I'll have it at my Malibu mansion when I marry my 26-year-old former Miss America bride. Who can now get to do the ceremony? Hey, Chris Harrison, hey, host of my show. Why don't you get over here?
Yeah.
Why don't you hop on over here and just do my bidding? And he had all his guests killed afterwards, I heard.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Ralph, let me ask you this. Besides the obvious upside to marrying a woman 23 years your junior, are there any downsides?
Not if you don't want to talk to her. There isn't.
Okay.
As long as you're not too interested in conversation, I think you're in good shape. That's always what I think. I think it would be just such a big gap in terms of, because I'm such a pop culture fiend, that I would think it would be frustrating for me to make references and to talk about pop cultural things in my lifetime that were significant that she has no reference for whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
That would be frustrating for me. It's frustrating to talk to you two, let alone when I would talk
to
my bride.
How dare you?
So it's just, I don't know. For somebody like me, it might not work out, but depending on what your priorities are, I guess sometimes it's fine.
I'm not saying don't do it. I'm not saying don't do it either.
Yeah. I think my third wife will probably be a former Miss America.
You think so?
That's what I'm guessing. Emma Stone just gets better and better and better. Turns out, did you see her on Jimmy Kimmel this week?
No.
I thought she was going to be on. I didn't see it.
Yeah. Turns out she's just perfect. Not only is she beautiful and talented in Gwen Stacy in the upcoming Amazing Spider-Man 2, but diehard Spice Girls fan, she admitted to Jimmy this week.
Is that right?
Diehard Spice Girls fan. See, this is what I'm talking about. Emma and I could be married because we would get together and we would just play our Spice Girl records and we would have
sort
quite
of the
time.
Same person.
We'd have quite the time.
Except for she's hot.
She proved how much of a fan she was of the Spice Girls by being able to reproduce perfect imitations of each of the girls' autographs on Jimmy's show.
Really?
Yeah. She had an autograph.
That's a little freaky.
She had autograph merch of theirs, and she would as a kid, she would practice and duplicate their signatures, and now she can do perfect forgeries of their signatures.
Okay. Odd.
Awesome.
That's what I meant, awesome?
That's what I meant, too.
Oh, Emma.
I like to tell her what I want, what I really, really want.
I have the clip if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you really, really want.
Somebody tell somebody something, for God's sakes.
I'll tell her.
All right.
Tell her when want to zig a zig. Ah. That's what I want to do. Eminem's got a new video out. The track is Headlights.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
With Nate from Fun.
Nate from Fun, exactly. Yep. Spike Lee directed the video.
Really?
Yeah. No word on whether or not Nate is in it. Eminem's actually calling it a short film, so it may be more than just a music video. No one has seen it yet, but we will soon. Apparently they just wrapped it, and no pun intended. And it's going to be available soon, so you'll be able to see that. That's an interesting combination, Spike Lee and Eminem.
It is.
And that's the song where he sort of apologizes to his mom for all the smack talking.
Yeah,
I've got the clip. Now, Nate from Fun is not on this clip, but you can hear Eminem, the lyrics that Kevin is talking about here. Pretty heartfelt.
He was crying near the end, it seemed like.
Yeah, sad. A lot of emotion going on, history of him and his mom.
Yeah. You done? I'm just feel free. Just run with it. I know you're very proud of yourself. Just wallow around in it for a little bit.
It never gets old.
To whom?
To us. To the one of us that's playing it.
By the way, Eminem and Rihanna, of course, will perform together at the MTV Movie Awards on Sunday. They're going to do their massive hit single, Monster.
I have a clip.
Of course you do.
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
Rihanna has lost a
step. Yeah, it's a little pitchy, dog.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Playboy magazine founder Hugh Hefner celebrates his 88th birthday. I hope he does it up. I hope he does it in style. Just for the sake of that he's Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, but don't you get the idea that as you grow that old, you go, I don't really care that much about
from all the
birthday.
Stories I hear, he now at the point of his life, the highlight of his week is like when his friends come over and they play backgammon together and they watch an old movie. And
it's just about pudding now at this point.
It really is just about it's just about what's for dessert.
It's and, pudding time.
And the girls, I'm sure, run around nude and bouncy and doing stuff. And he's like,
I got my pudding.
Dennis Quaid is 60 years old today. Cynthia Nixon. Oh, I'd go for some pudding right now.
I could, too. It's pudding time for us.
Cynthia Nixon's 48 years old. Porn star Jenna Jameson celebrates her 40th birthday. Singer Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance is 37. Keisha Knight Pulliam from The Cosby Show. Little Rudy on The Cosby Show. She's now 35 years old, people.
You want some pudding?
Yes, I would, actually. Thank
actually
you.
Would like that.
Albert Hammond Jr.
And I want that tub of pudding that they had on Walking Dead. I want that. gallon or whatever it was.
Of The Strokes, he is 34 years old today. Actor Jay Baruchel is 32. Leighton Meester's 28. Kristen Stewart of the Twilight franchise is 24 years old. And actress Elle Fanning celebrates her 16th.
Congratulations, Itzel Zamora from Anaheim. Just got 3-day passes for Coachella.
Nice.
Doing it at 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. each day leading up to the festival, which, of course, is only in a couple of days. So keep listening for your chance to win.
Itzel Zamora sounds like 90 points in Scrabble. That's a crazy name. Hey, Ruthless Robbie Lawyer, welterweight UFC fighter, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Did you know your name was Lawyer?
No, I did not.
Did I say that?
You said lawyer,
that's
yeah.
That's a terrible start then. I take that back.
You want to try again?
Hey, Ruthless Robbie Lawler. How you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
What's up, man? Good job.
Saturday, May 24th at MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Tickets are going on sale this Friday morning at 10 o'clock through Ticketmaster.com. I was a little bit surprised to see you fighting again so soon. It seems like we just got over UFC 171. You're coming back already at the end of May. What's up?
Nothing. I was just ready to go. My body was feeling good. And I mean, I haven't started sparring yet. I'll start next week. But my body feels good. I've been pushing it. I worked out the Monday after the fight just to get some blood flowing to my muscles.
What is wrong with you? I'm sitting on the couch eating ice cream the whole day just because I can.
It's easier to stay in shape than it is to get in shape.
If you don't mind, let's go back and talk about the Johnny Hendricks fight just for a little bit. There's something wrong with you. And by that I mean you both were standing within striking range of each other. You could have knocked him out at any moment. He could have knocked you out at any moment. The harder he hit you, the more you smiled. Now, is that just because some guys do that to just go, you're not getting to me? I feel like you really loved it.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a guy who really enjoys getting hit, and that's weird.
No, I wasn't enjoying hit. Okay, I was enjoying the fight.
It was a fun fight.
It was fun.
But you're the guy getting hit. How do you step outside of that situation and go, this is a good fight? Yeah, kind of as an observer.
It's hard to say. I mean, I just felt good out there. It was like I was happy to be there. It seemed like things were going my way at the time, and that's just what I was doing at the time.
But what I'm saying that's weird is that you weren't smiling when you were doing well. You were smiling when he was doing well.
I don't think he was doing that well.
Now, I'm curious to know what it's like during the fight, because rounds 3 and 4, I mean, you were really gaining ground here. I mean, you thought you were going to win that fight, right? And you knew when you – I mean, you never know how the judges are scoring this thing. You just got kind of an internal timer or whatever you're thinking about. But when you went out for round 5, what was going through your head? I mean, were you trying to finish him, or did you feel like you were ahead and you were just going to – you just had to not get in trouble?
No, the whole fight, I thought in my mind – stop him. So I felt like if I didn't knock him out, I lost the fight. That's just my mindset, and that's probably where he got me. I was out there to stop him, beat him up, knock him out, and maybe he was winning rounds here and there. That's just something I need to learn from.
You both were standing in range of each other's strongest punches and getting hit with them the whole time. How do you know how strong your chin is? How do you know that you can stand that close to him? And how did he know he could stand that close to you? Because you could have knocked him out at any moment, too.
Well, if I don't stand that close to him, then I can't hit him.
No, you get it. You got to move. But you guys were both just like, all right, give me your best shot. All right, I'm going to throw one now.
I was moving my head, trying to have punches slide off, and had my hands up. I mean,
is it a little scarier to fight that way? A lot of fighters will move a lot so that they can come in and throw their fight, you know, their punches. But then they'll get out and get out of the way of a possible.
Yeah, I'm willing to get in there and exchange. Normally, the best knockout punchers are those guys who are willing to throw when the other guy's throwing. So that's what I wanted to do, catch him when he was throwing, and I just didn't catch him enough.
What was your level
of... You caught him a lot.
You really did.
You obviously, anytime there's a fight that that goes the distance, there are people who feel the refs got it wrong. You did not seem to be one of those people. I mean, even in the moment, you kind of accepted their decision and almost seemed to agree with it rather than protest.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm not going to go out there. It was my job to stop him. It was my job to let the judges have no doubt that I won the fight, and I didn't do that. So it would be kind of, I don't really like to, I guess you say, I don't like to cry about those things. I had my chance to do what I needed to do. The judges thought otherwise, and just let him be a champion and let him have the moment.
Wow, that's a very mature, responsible way to think. It's also a very difficult way for a competitor or an athlete to think. I mean, I don't think a lot of guys would be able to feel that way about it, to lose a fight that close.
I like that you let him have just the moment, though, because there's going to be another moment. And that's going to probably be yours.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I know what I'm capable of. I know I have more in there, and that's why I wanted to get right back in there and fight and get better.
Is that how it works with Dana? Like, you fought, and then do you let Dana know immediately, hey, I'm feeling pretty good and I'm ready to go again soon, or does he contact your camp, or how does that work?
I actually text him and let him know that I was, if they needed someone to step up, that I was going to be ready to fight, and I felt good, and something happened and I was able to take a fight.
Now, it's interesting that you say that, because the reason that you were at 171 is because GSP vacated the title, so Johnny Hendricks needed a competitor. And that's a little bit what's happening with your fight with Jake, right? He was supposed to fight another dude on 173, right?
Yeah, he was actually supposed to fight at 172. His guy ended up getting hurt, so they pushed his fight back a month and to the May card.
So you're the go-to guy. You're the, hey, we need a fighter.
I guess so.
I think. That's the difference between you and me. Yeah. I get punched. I go, I don't think I'm going to do that for a while.
I'll tell you what, I'm not doing.
Right back in there.
I'm not ever answering my phone if I know they're looking for a fighter. I just pretend I'm not home. That's what I do. What do you know about Jake Ellenberger?
He's a really tough opponent. He's ranked in the top five. He was in the title hunt, lost a close fight to Rory McDonald. He was. Just didn't have a good night that night, and he's looking to rebound.
Let me ask you about the rankings, because I always wonder about that. It seems like in a lot of sports, if you're in the top 10, really, you're pretty even with everybody else. So he's, what, ranked fifth, and you're ranked first? I mean, is there a big difference there, or are you pretty much even? Do you think anyone in the top 10 could beat anyone else in the top 10?
Yeah, anything can happen in an MMA fight.
Do you have to make a big mistake for that to happen?
No, really what I concentrate on is just being the best I can be that night, and don't worry about what the rankings say, and make sure I'm pushing myself every day, because when I first came in the UFC and when I fought Koscheck, I wasn't even one of the highly ranked guys. I didn't care what anyone else said, and I just believed in myself and kept pushing forward. So rankings don't really matter.
This fight is going to be May 24th at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 o'clock through Ticketmaster. Our guest is Robbie Lawler, who, by the way, has been around for a long time. Here's a guy, and we got to take a break, but when we come back, Robbie, we want to talk about what the evolution of UFC has been like for you as a guy who's been doing it since you were 20. You've been in and out of it, and now, of course, it's one of the biggest sports in the world, and that must be so fun for you. More with our guest, Mr. Lawler, right after this on the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock. Robbie Lawler in studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show. Welterweight UFC fighter who's going to be fighting again, MGM Grand in Las Vegas on Saturday, May 24th. You can get your tickets this Friday morning at 10 through Ticketmaster. The main attraction, the head of that card, is going to be Henan Burrell against TJ Dillashaw. That's the head card, and then it's going to be you versus Ellenberger. What do they call him? The Juggernaut? Is that what
juggernaut,
it says?
Yep.
The Juggernaut, I think, is going to be. The Juggernaut versus Ruthless Robbie Lawler. That's going to be 173.
He's not a lawyer, for God's sake, sir.
Robbie, you started in the UFC back in... What year?
2002 was my first fight in the UFC.
And that was UFC 37.
And
now we're at 173. That's a lot of fights.
What was the attention factor like when you started?
There wasn't. You didn't really. No one knew you were fighting.
Nobody did.
No, not really.
Was it pay-per-view at all?
Yeah, it was pay-per-view.
It was, okay.
I mean, but you could.
Did you make.
Champions could walk down the street and not be known.
A champ, no kidding. Yeah. And did you make any money? Probably not.
I made decent money for a kid who was 20 years old, but no, nothing to write home about.
Not compared
today. Yes. But you weren't doing it for the money back then. You were doing it to compete and fight at a high level and do what you love to do. So, I mean, what you got was extra bonus.
Did you get busted up and then people that would draw people's attention? They go, what's wrong? What happened?
No, I didn't get busted up.
You did the busting?
Yeah.
Well, you had a lot of success in the beginning for UFC. I mean, I think you won, what, four of your first five fights or something, and then ran into some trouble and left UFC for a while.
Yeah, I mean, just wasn't my time, and moved up to 185 and started fighting other places and not cutting any weight, just enjoying myself and pushing my body and just going out there and fighting, having fun.
And then why and when did you make the decision to come back?
Well, the UFC actually bought Strikeforce.
Oh, right. That's right.
And they kind of brought over the fighters they wanted to have, and I moved down to 170, and the rest is history.
And what do you think about, I mean, you know, Dana made so many headlines back in the day when he talked about how UFC was, how big it was going to be, and it turns out that he was right. How do you feel about the size of the league now and the popularity of the sport?
It's awesome just to see the growth. I was there when it was nothing. I was just at the UFC offices, and they're huge. I mean, it wasn't even close to what it is now, and it's amazing to be a part of it, for sure.
When you walk down the street? People recognize you instantly?
When I'm back home, a lot of people recognize me. When I'm out in Florida, nobody really bothers me. It's nice. I'm not out there to be...
No, I get that instinct from you, but still, it seems like if you're in the UFC and it's as popular as it is now, people would come up to you all the time.
Yeah, here and there.
Do you have problems with people wanting to pick a fight with you?
No, I'm that guy in the corner just chilling. No one wants to pick a fight
you're
with
just
a
being
guy
cool.
Who's just relaxing.
And then you would kick his ass anyway, but...
Because Beer Mug was really talking a lot of smack before you came in here, Robbie.
That was actually Bean.
He actually was saying he was going to knock you out. I don't know what that means or why.
You know, talk's cheap, bro.
I think pussy was the word you were throwing around a lot, if I recall, Muggs, wasn't it?
Is that what you said? Speaking of talk is cheap, what do you think about all the bad-mouthing that goes on in the UFC? Do you think it's all worthless? Do you think some fighters have to have it to get up for a fight, or...
Everybody's different. Yeah, everyone tries to get one up, tries to get their name out there in a different way, and some people just use their mouths. I like to use my hands.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Is there anything personal between you and Jake coming up on May 24th?
No, we're just competitors. I'm ready to compete at a high level. I want to push myself, and Jake's just my opponent.
And is the winner of this fight going to go on for another title shot or no? Do you know?
No, you're not promised anything in this sport or in life, so just keep grinding it out. And
I know, but you had your shot and came so close. It's got to be driving you crazy. Like, I do want to get back to that position again.
Yeah,
right?
I want to be back, but once again, it's not promised.
Not up to you.
It's just do what I do and at least put my name in the discussion by winning and being one of the best guys.
What's your song you walk out to at the MGM Grand on the 24th?
I walk out to Eminem, Beautiful.
Nice.
Do you get to choose?
Yeah, I do get to choose.
Does that, what is it about that song? Because I'm always fascinated. I always ask when we have fighters in, I always ask about the song. What is it that song does for you?
I just think it's a good song. It's kind of like my career. And another song that I like, I thought about, is Bob Seger, Turn the Page. I like that song.
Walking out to a ballad would be bold, man.
What do you listen to when you train? Anything?
I can't hear anything when I'm training. We don't really listen to anything but rap. If I'm running, some rock. It all depends. Right. I listen to country. I listen to a lot of different stuff.
What's your training regimen like at its full peak when you're really going for it?
It's probably like 5 weeks out from a fight. I mean, I wake up, run, do some sort of kickboxing, strength and conditioning. Come back, do some sort of grappling, 5-6 hours a day, just getting after it and pushing myself. But the closer you get to the fight, the less you do, the more rest you get, and the more you fine-tune everything.
I try to nap for 5 or 6 hours a day. That's my goal. That's the difference between you and me.
You know, I hear
one of
you
the differences.
I hear you say all that, Robbie, and then I'm so surprised that Mugg said he could knock you out in one punch. I was just
that
like,
was weird. Even if you were ready for it, he said.
Right.
Bean said that.
Even if you were ready for it. be a fight at least. So, all right. Well, it sounds like you're ready, man. Sounds like you're in the mode, ready to go for the fight. It's going to be May 24th at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. It's going to be Ticketmaster 10 o'clock this Friday to get your tickets. 3:30 is UFC Fight Pass early prelims, and then Fox Sports 1 for the the warm up fights, and then the main card, the main event starts at 7 o'clock. That is going to be another great night of UFC action for UFC 173. We wish you the best, man.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
What's wrong, man? You okay?
What's going on, Ralph? What's the problem?
You know just what the problem is.
I do, I know.
Yeah, all right, then don't ask.
But I'm saying... Yeah, I hear you.
All right.
Hey, quick reminder, Kevin is going to be broadcasting live along with David King of Mexico from the K-Rock House for Coachella weekend this Friday, and then again on Monday if either or both of them are still alive.
Define live.
And,
define broadcasting for that matter. Yeah.
Friday will be live and hopefully broadcasting. Monday, I make no promises.
Right. K-Rock's going to be down there all weekend long broadcasting live with lots of special performances and appearances and interviews. So much great stuff happening over the weekend. You get all those details at KROQ.com, as well as the complete set list and times. The whole lineup for the whole weekend is available at KROQ.com as well. You should check it out. Now let's take a look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Sad news for the wrestling world. Pro wrestler James Helwig has passed away. He was better known as the Ultimate Warrior. Dead at the age of just 54 years old. He'd been inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame just a few days ago and was at WrestleMania 30 over the weekend.
Wow.
He was survived by his wife Dana and his two daughters. He was an icon of the 80s. When WWF at the time was in its heyday, he was just front and center, one of the biggest names, and sad. Seemed like a funny guy, had a good sense of humor, and did a great job in the ring. And sad. There's a thing online, you can see the video of him in the ring, talking to the fans after his induction into the ceremony.
Oh, really?
I was saying it was weird. It's kind of chilling because he says, look, every man's heart will beat one last time. He will take one last breath, but the things that he did will go on with the storytellers, the people who talk about the legends of any given sport or career or whatever. And it certainly was the case for the Ultimate Warrior. So, sad news. Kim Kardashian's been busted. Sadly, it's not for turning tricks or anything. That'd be awesome. But busted by folks on the internet for pulling images off the internet and posting them as her vacation photos.
That's weird.
That's pathetic. Every selfie in the world is on there on her Instagram when she was on vacation in Thailand last week. But as she posted a very poignant comment of thank you for the beautiful memories, Thailand, she put up a picture that it was positioned as if she took it on a beautiful beach in Thailand with a fishing boat making its way to shore and the tall green mountains in the background. It turns out some very sharp-eyed folks on the internet said, hey, well, that looks familiar to me. And that photo, which looked to be hers, was in fact the very first image that comes up when you type Thailand beach into Google. Google Images comes up, and there's that picture front and center. So she just swiped it and then just slapped it on her Instagram as if she took it herself
the
on
first
the beach.
Clue, and probably the only clue they needed, was that she was not in it.
That's true.
That's true.
Wait a minute. Wait. She pointed her camera at something that wasn't her ass. I don't buy it. Not for a minute. And she's a lazy thief, too, because it's the very first picture. She just, well, whatever. Whatever comes up, I'm putting up.
Look, I'm not trying to in any way give her the benefit of the doubt here, but is it possible that she was just trying to tweet a picture of, hey, look how beautiful this place is that I'm at. Here's a picture of it.
I mean, but she was there!
Was she trying to make it seem like she had taken the photo?
She was there!
Right.
It would take more work to go on Google, search Google Images, take a picture, save it, and then post it on Instagram than it would be to take a picture of the beach and post it on Instagram.
I would sure think so. And hasn't this Thai vacation gone on for like a month? Haven't we endured a month of every member of her family uploading bikini pictures every day?
A month.
And she also shot a professional shoot, I think, when she was down there, too, with a thong up her ass.
All right.
She had another picture she posted of the beautiful cherry blossoms of Thailand. That photo was stolen from Imgur, and in fact wasn't even Thailand at all. It was, it's actually a photo titled The Most Beautiful Cherry Blossoms of Japan. So she took those. should have that photo and put that up there. So,
porn star Kim Kardashian.
She posted it with the hashtag heaven. The pictures of the beautiful Thai cherry blossoms. Yeah. That actually was a stolen picture of Japanese cherry blossoms.
That's funny.
She's a creative genius.
Not my fault.
This would be a great call-in topic, I think, of your significant other banned your contact with one of your exes.
Ah.
Because apparently this happened. The friendship between Stacey Keibler and George Clooney is apparently over. Reports are that Clooney sent his ex-girlfriend a congratulations text after she tied the knot with Jarrett Pobre. But the new groom was not impressed by the gesture. And word is he has forbidden his new bride to respond and is adamant that George never be any a part of her future in any way. No contact whatsoever with her ex.
That's a dick move. That is a dick
move. But if it's George Clooney.
Yeah, that is a dick move.
That would make me a little nervous too, I think.
But he's George Clooney, which means he could take her at any moment that he wants to from you.
All it has to be is, let's just grab some coffee.
I'm in.
Okay. Bow, chicka, bow, bow. Next thing you know, the table in the back room is rattling at the Starbucks. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're saying that they're having sex on it.
They could. If you wanted to, they could, because he's George Clooney.
That's right.
Now, what was your policy, Ralph, when you got married? Did you have any problem with your beautiful bride staying in touch with ex-boyfriends?
No. No, she's friends with a few of them on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It never bothered me. She, as far as I know, she's not concerned with me being in contact with any of my ex-flames.
Yeah, I don't think it's an issue either, but I guess...
big deal.
But he's George Clooney.
But, yeah, none of the my wife none never of George dated Clooney. George Clooney.
Yeah.
Had my wife dated George Clooney, it might have given me pause if he was texting her and saying, hey,
by the way, if your wife had dated George Clooney, you would have thrown her out of the picture so that you could get in with George Clooney.
That's right, yes. I was like, give me that text number. Plus, the whole thing is a very compressed time frame we're talking about here. You know, they only broke up, I don't know, a year and a half ago or something like that.
Right.
And
right.
then she got pregnant and married very quickly with this new guy. So there's still some fresh... Mm-hmm. pheromones flying around in that situation.
I suspect, though, that George Clooney never dates the same woman twice.
Probably. Knowingly. Yeah, probably.
He probably doesn't have to go back for seconds, does he?
Right.
God bless him. Andrew Dice Clay, he's got an interesting breakup story. This is coming from People Magazine. He is currently divorcing his third wife, Valerie Silverstein. And they plan to stay very close in contact, and they even celebrated the end of their marriage with a beautiful romantic meal at a restaurant in West Hollywood. When asked about it, Dice said, "We are more in love and have more respect for each other now than ever before."
Huh.
It's a whole
good
new
time to divorce.
It's a whole new world in the world of divorce.
Yes, it is.
The good old days, you hated each other, and you'd throw plates, and you'd get lawyers involved, and there were angry words exchanged, and disparaging comments made about each other's character and sexual organs, and then you would just go about your angry way. Everybody's in love, and they're...
Now it's breakup moons.
Consciously uncoupling, and I don't like it. Not a bit. Kevin?
Yes?
You have one more job while you're in Coachella this weekend.
Nope. I have no jobs at Coachella.
Well, then you have one job in Coachella. Keep an eye out for Lindsay Lohan!
All right.
Friends are worried she may be taking a flying leap off the wagon. She will be attending the Coachella Music Festival this weekend.
Now, am I bringing the wagon to her, or what's my role?
You have the wagon, yes.
I have the wagon.
You're the keeper of the wagon.
The bus. Should I pick her up in the party short bus?
But in this case, it wouldn't be her falling off the wagon, because someone climbing on your wagon is when they would be drunk, so.
Yeah.
Kevin would make an excellent sober coach.
He would. You'd never be able to get a drink. That's why, because he would take it out of your hand and he would drink it for you. Be like, hey, that was mine. This is for your own good. Trust me. This is for your benefit. I'm going to be drinking, you're not drinking. Part of us? Just let it go. Just let the drink go.
Will Glinda be there?
I don't know about Glinda. But I know Lindsay will be there, and she'll be partying with her mom, Dina. Which is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
On every level. This is good news for TV fans. If you were like a fan like I was of Lisa Edelstein from House, she's got a new series. Going to be on television. Bravo has announced 16 new TV series as of yesterday, and one of those shows on the Bravo network is Lisa's new series, Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce. I'm guessing it's a comedy.
Sounds like it.
Bravo also has a new slate of reality shows that they're going to be airing. By the way, we let Bravo off the hook way too much. We come down so hard on TLC, but Bravo's got some awful, awful programming on it. Yeah. including a lot of spin-off shows from their Real Housewives series. Real Housewives of New Jersey's Carolyn Manzo. She's got a new series called, wait for it, Manzoed with Children.
Nope.
Yep.
That's not the name of the
show.
That's the working title.
No, it's the name. Manzoed with Children.
No.
And Real Housewives of Atlanta star Candy Burris has a series about her upcoming marriage called Candy's Wedding. And Top Chef's coming back with season 12, Shahs of Sunset season 4, and Vanderpump Rules season 3. I don't even know what Vanderpump Rules are, but sounds sexy.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
Speaking of which, what network is that Rich Kids of Instagram on? Is that on MTV?
I don't know how to watch
it.
Why does he yell like that? Dave, you have a microphone. We can just hear
the,
you.
The E! Network carries the Rich Kids of...
Thank you.
Of Beverly Hills. I guess it's called Rich Kids of Beverly Hills.
Yes.
After that show, I only caught the tailing because I hear LaQuisha talking about it. No. I hear LaQuisha on our show talk about that, so I caught the edge of one at the tail end. And the next show right after that is a show about this guy who was a real estate mogul, but he threw it all away because he wants to be a fashion designer, and he lives in this massive house in Atlanta or Texas or someplace.
Okay.
And he's got a wife and two kids, but he's the gayest guy in the world.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm always hard on my kids because my kids are going to have the best. And I have Sweet 16 coming up for my daughter. I just go, honey, and he's talking to his wife. Honey, this is just unacceptable. The dress you got for her for the sweet stand. Like, there's no one going to say anything about this guy. And I watched the first 5 minutes waiting for someone to say, and of course, yes, he did reveal he's gay. But they never bring it up. They act like it's just leave it to Beaver with this family.
Huh.
It's hilarious.
Weird. That's a little weird.
I don't know what it's called, but I want to find out more about it. I thought maybe one of you guys knew what it was about. Maybe we'll look into that. All right, let's take a look.
I don't recall what channel it was on. You're talking about the show, but I can't remember. Is it on... What? Is it?
Could it?
Thank you. You would have waited forever, wouldn't you?
Yep, Bean would have waited forever.
You would have waited until 10:30.
And by the way, it was worth it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Playboy magazine founder Hugh Hefner celebrates his 88th birthday today.
Happy. The Bible's against it. God's against it. I'm against it. And if you've got any sense, you're against it.
No one's against it.
I mean against?
Yeah.
Okay.
In preacher speak. Look, all Playboy does is celebrate womanhood.
Correct.
I would think women would support that.
No, correct. The Bible's again that.
100%. The Bible does not support womanhood. That's
not
true.
Really, no.
They stone a lot of women in the Bible for some reason. Dennis Quaid, 60. Cynthia Nixon is 48 years old. Which one was she, Lisa? Who was
the
she?
The redhead.
She was the redhead?
Yeah.
She was the one lawyer. No one wanted to bone on right. Sex and the City.
Exactly. Okay.
She's 48 years old. Porn star Jenna Jameson, 40 years old. Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance was 37. Keisha Knight Pulliam from Rudy. Not from Rudy. That was a movie about football in Notre Dame. Rudy from The Cosby Show. 35 years old. Rudy never played football for Notre Dame, you see. Cosby was a little girl who just eats the pudding pops. Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes is 34. Jay Baruchel is 32 years old. Leighton Meester is 28. Kristen Stewart's 24. And lovely and talented actress Elle Fanning is 16 years old. Who'd have thought when we were watching little Dakota Fanning tear up the screen back in the day that she would have an even more attractive, more talented sister right behind her?
Yeah,
that was
unbelievable.
Come along and crush us. That family.
Crazy family.
Nuts.
Hey, Ralph, for your edification and the listeners as well, if they want to seek the show you were discussing on the E-Channel, apparently it is called Chrisley Knows Best.
Chrisley Knows Best.
Is that his name? Wow.
Apparently that's what it's called. That's what I'm being told, yes.
Chrisley Knows Best. And it's you got to see some of it. It's kind of crazy.
It's like, you made all my money in real estate, but now I've just thrown it all away because I want to follow my true calling. Fashion.
Sounds like the alien on American Dad.
I'm thinking, that's not your true calling. That's not what you wanted to follow. There's something else that's calling your name that you want to follow, sir. It's not fashion. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have writer, actor, director, part-time employee Kevin Smith joining us. We have, I don't know if you guys remember the movie The Raid. Love that movie. There's a sequel, The Raid 2. We have the director, Gareth Evans, on tomorrow. We have tickets for the MTV Movie Awards. We have tickets for WonderCon. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. And we have tickets for you, three-day passes for Coachella. Mm-hmm. You're running out of time to win those. You can
Coachella.
For Coachella, yeah. You can win them at 5 o'clock this afternoon and then again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on the Kevin and